and do it good. And I became more enamored of her courage than I did my own problem with watching tough stuff, watching things that are hard to watch because there's somebody who are personally involved with you.
Kurt Russell, now in Escape from New York and with me in the Lion's Den. I'm Jeffrey Lyons.
Tomorrow morning at this time, Jeffrey Lyons concludes his series of interviews with Kurt Russell. KNX's radio time is 4:55.
Well, there's a mountain far away, and we go up there every day. We take the water from a living spring. It's a real clean taste that only Arrowhead can bring.
There are many kinds of bottled water that can be delivered to your door, but only one that comes to you straight from a pure mountain spring. Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water. No other home-delivered bottled water comes from so far away to bring you such natural refreshment.
We take the water from a living spring. It's a pure, clean taste that only Arrowhead can bring.
Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water. We're the Mountain Spring Water people.
In this area, only one company delivers mountain spring water called Arrowhead, the mountain spring water people.
KNX News Radio update. The West, the Southland.
As the Voyager 2 spacecraft moves away from the planet Saturn, officials report a problem with the device aboard the craft. The officials say the device, the scan platform, is designed to direct Voyager's instruments at its targets in space and carries them through their operations. Voyager project manager Esker Davis says officials at the Dutch Propulsion Lab in Pasadena learned of the problem after the spacecraft came out from behind Saturn and sent only a radio signal back to Earth. Davis says it was then learned that the scan platform was not functioning properly, giving the scientists no data to work with. KNX News Radio time is 4:57. Thanks to the new Reagan tax bill, you now have a tremendous opportunity to protect your future with tax-free savings. Beginning January 1st, everybody will be eligible to open an IRA account and save up to $2,000 a year tax-free. The maximum annual KEO contribution increases to $15,000. But of equal importance is how much that tax-sheltered money earns. That's where Vestcorp of California can help you. In the pension field, Vestcorp is a leader in providing a high yield on tax-free dollars with safety and security. Vestcorp's IRA and KEO plans now earn up to 20%. Far more than most IRA and KEOs. But don't wait until next year to earn 20% on your tax-free savings. Call Vestcorp now and ask about opening an IRA or KEO account or transferring your existing plan. In Los Angeles, call 924-9232. 924-9232. Ask about the Reagan IRA and KEO plans. 924-9232. Vestcorp, the tax shelter for today, the investment for tomorrow. Workers in San Francisco have managed to seal a leaking gas main that sent choking yellow-brown gas laced with PCBs through the city's financial district. A drill at a construction site pierced the pipeline yesterday afternoon, sending a geyser of gas into the air. As many as 30,000 people were evacuated. Your dollar set at 10.70. In the coming hour, you'll hear the who, what, where, when, and why of the 80s from Jody Hammond, who says the family of a 3-year-old leukemia victim has returned to Glendale after spending 6 weeks in Tijuana for Leotil treatments. Bob Fuss in Pasadena, where Voyager 2 flyby of Saturn was monitored. Pat Davis in Sacramento, reporting state officials are concerned about the discovery of 5 fruit flies in Los Angeles County. Bob Donnelly in San Francisco, he says the cleanup of a major gas leak continues in the downtown financial district. You'll also hear sports news, this morning's financial summary, and William Rukeyser with another edition of Inside Business. Sunny and hot today and tomorrow. Those are the words from the KNX News Radio Weather Wire for Los Angeles. Highs this afternoon, 102 predicted. Tomorrow, 100. Overnight lows in the mid-70s. This is George Walsh for KNX Los Angeles and KCBS San Francisco. Now CBS News covers the world at 5 o'clock.
CBS News. There's trouble aboard Voyager 2, but scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, have not yet determined the exact nature of the problem. This is Alan Shaw reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The problem follows a triumphant threading of the needle by Voyager 2, sending scientists their closest look yet at Saturn's stormy gas clouds and whirling snowball rings. As Voyager radioed it had passed 63 miles over the cloud tops of Saturn, scientists erupted with whoops of joy. Later, signals indicated there might be a malfunction with an instrument aiming platform. David Dow says little is known at this time.
One problem is they don't have enough data back yet to have much of an idea what has gone wrong. They have theories, they have ideas, but they don't know precisely what it is. It will be sometime later this morning, perhaps 9 o'clock Pacific time, before they begin to get that kind of data, begin to be able to go through some kind of troubleshooting procedure to detect what indeed is wrong with Voyager 2.
Dow reports that NASA officials say the malfunction does not abort Voyager's continuing mission, as other instruments are still operable, and perhaps the malfunction can be corrected. More CBS News after this.
Oh, my back!
What happened, dear?
Well, I finished weeding the garden, so I decided to wash the car and...
And you overexerted yourself.
Oh,
Charlie, you never learn.
I know, but it's such a nice day
and... now you've got a nagging backache.
Okay, I hear you.
Well, just sit there till I get you a couple of Doane's pills.
Yeah, Doane's pills, good idea.
And good advice. Doane's pills. When you have a simple nagging backache due to overexertion, stress, or strain... Taken as directed, this time-proven analgesic has brought temporary relief of minor backache pain to thousands of people. Doane's pills. They belong in every family's medicine cabinet.
Feel more comfortable tonight, dear?
Sure do.
That's good.
Those Doane's pills really work.
Get Doane's pills and get the better of a backache due to simple overexertion, stress, or strain. Doane's pills bring you the kind of welcome relief you may need. Available at drug counters or your favorite supermarket. Doane's pills. Use only as directed.
A moment ago, we said that Voyager radioed back it had passed 63 miles over the cloud tops of Saturn. Actually, we should have said 63,000 miles. But more down to Earth, a porous mixture resembling kitty litter has been spread over slick streets of San Francisco to soak up hazardous PCB-laced oil from a massive gas main leak. That oil was residue from a choking brown-yellow gas that escaped when contractors drilled into a gas main. 30,000 office workers and shoppers fled buildings in San Francisco's financial district. Dick Fitzmaurice of CBS station KCBS reports on the near tragedy.
San Francisco Fire Chief Andrew Casper says the gas leak could have been disastrous.
When we consider the amount of gas that was leaking out of that main and the possibility of it being sucked in by air conditioning systems in the various buildings and a person striking a match or lighting a cigarette with a lighter or a pilot light source being found to cause an explosion, this could have been very, very serious.
Casper says as a fire official he doesn't like to talk about a towering inferno, but admits that possibility existed. Construction crews were responsible for the afternoon break, which wasn't repaired till 11 p.m. Oil containing the carcinogen PCB also escaped with the gas and covered a 7-block area of the financial district. Samples indicated the PCB level was not hazardous, but cleaning up was quite a job. Dick Fitzmaurice for CBS News, San Francisco.
The long-stalled talks on autonomy for Palestinians of the West Bank and Gaza Strip will resume on September 23rd. Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat announced the agreement following 2 days of summit talks at Sadat's summer palace in Alexandria, Egypt. President Reagan hosts a meeting with Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger, White House Budget Director David Stockman, and Presidential Advisor Edwin Meese at his Santa Barbara Ranch today. The administration leaders will discuss the president's goal of increasing defense spending by 7% annually. Stockman and other economic advisors have cautioned the president he will not reach another intended goal, that of balancing the budget within 3 years if he goes ahead with the defense spending plan. And Medal of Honor winner, retired Major General William Dean is dead at the age of 82. Dean was awarded the nation's highest medal for his actions as commander of the 24th Infantry in Korea. And now this.
The Wall Street Journal helps keep you informed of everything happening anywhere that could affect your future and your company's future. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for just $41. That's less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-5505. That's 800-228-5505. Except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Sports lovers, turn us on, because CBS has the most exciting sports programming in radio. Regular sportscasts with Win Elliott, Jim Kelly, Kurt Gowdy, Lynn Berman, Bill Schweitzer, Howard David, and me, Brent Musburger. Special live coverage of the big ones, NFL football, baseball's All-Star Game, the World Series, U.S. Open Tennis, Masters Golf. And you're in the right spot for all the local sports news, too. So, sports lovers, turn us on and hear it here.
Singapore Airlines' experiment with one-armed bandits aboard its 747 from Singapore to San Francisco came up three lemons. One man did win $30 for his 50-cent investment, and he was the big winner. No one got the $100 jackpot. The machines malfunctioned, all six, before the plane arrived in Honolulu and were taken out of action. A spokesman for the machine manufacturing company said the patrons played too rough and broke the machine's single arms. Alan Shaw, CBS News.
KCBS San Francisco.
And good morning from KCBS News Radio. Well, it's nice to be back inside our studios here. I'm Al Hart. And yes, it smells a little funny in the Financial District this morning, but they're rapidly cleaning things up. And by the way, I want to repeat this. San Francisco police are saying all streets will be open to traffic in the Financial District by 6:30 this morning. Embarcadero Building Security says the center will be open for business as usual at 6 a.m. And those of you who come to work down here, as thousands of you do, okay, 6:30, that's the time when the all-clear will be given. And glad to have you back with us. You had a little holiday yesterday. As Walter Cronkite used to say, it was a day like any other day. Tuesday, August 25th, 1981. Inside our KCBS studios at Embarcadero No. 1, Lila Peterson was interviewing Senator Hayakawa. Outside on the street at the intersection of Battery and Sacramento, construction crews were working on that new high-rise building. A huge drill bit into the earth, and then it happened.
The tremendous roar we're hearing in the background right now is the sound of natural gas escaping from a main that has been broken right in the heart of downtown San Francisco, in the heart of what is called the Financial District. That main is putting out we don't know how many thousands of cubic feet of gas per minute, but in the meantime, all four square blocks surrounding this intersection where the main is broken have been evacuated. All the buildings in that area have been evacuated. Tens of thousands of people being evacuated to three or four blocks away because of the danger of explosion that that gas presents right now. The smell of natural gas is all over this area, and while some people continue to linger very much in the danger zone, the people who are more curious than others, there are other people who are simply taking off for the day, getting as far away from the scene as possibly they can. Right now, it isn't known exactly how this accident happened. It is at a construction site, a construction site that has been going for some 4 or 5 weeks at this point. Pacific Gas and Electric Company crews are responding to the scene, trying to shut down this major gas artery that has been severed because of some apparent construction accident there. The exact corner being the corner of Battery and Sacramento Streets. And the buildings being evacuated, among others, including the KCBS building, number one Embarcadero Center. KCBS radio went off the air because of this. The danger for explosion was just too great, and all employees had to get out of the 32nd floor where our studios are located. As we look at the scene of that gas leak right now, all we see are clouds and clouds of dust being stirred up by the gas being expelled from that main with tremendous force. So far, there have been no flames, but again, the smell of natural gas around here rivals the smell that perhaps you would have in your apartment if you walked in after a gas burner had been going for some time with no flame. A smell that tells you almost instinctively that there's a danger of explosion. And that is the smell that is wafting about all of downtown San Francisco at this very moment. It has been going on at this point for some 20 or 25 minutes. Again, tens of thousands of people have been evacuated from nearby office buildings while construction workers and the Pacific Gas and Electric Company crews try to figure out how to turn off the gas that is feeding this leak, the gas that could potentially feed a disastrous explosion. This is Wilson Van Alst in downtown San Francisco.
And among those evacuated, the KCBS news staff, including KCBS newsman Bill Diaz.
When the order came to evacuate buildings in the Embarcadero Center area near Battery and Clay, there initially was some confusion. In Embarcadero Center No. 1, where the KCBS studios are located, there were conflicting reports over the building's PA system, at first urging people to take the stairs to the ground floor, and then when many of the people were bunched into staircases, the order came came to take elevators. Don Mosley of KCBS says doors leading from the staircases to the elevator lobbies were locked, but that after descending about halfway, a security guard opened one of the locked doors and ushered his group into an elevator. Mayor Feinstein was out of town during the emergency, but I asked Acting Mayor Lee Dolson about the number of people actually evacuated during the crisis.
Our conservative estimate is that must be at least 10,000. We figure up to 30,000. There were 20 buildings that were evacuated officially, and of course three of these are the rather populous Embarcaderos 1, 2, and 3. These two buildings must have at least had 500 to 1,000 people in them. We saw somewhere in the neighborhood of, as I say, somewhere between 10 and 30,000 people evacuated out of this area.
Dolson expressed a good deal of concern about the city's ability to cope with a major crisis because of problems of communication during this one, and he will urge that better plans be prepared to cope with any emergencies that might arise in the future. Bill Diaz, San Francisco.
And we'll hear more from Supervisor Dolson a little bit later on in this broadcast. Down the escape stairwell went veteran KCBS newsman Don Mosley, as you heard from Bill. And here is his account of the evacuation.
It's an eerie feeling heading down 32 floors of a stairwell, the smell of escaping gas coming through the vent system. At each floor, dozens more joined our nervous cavalcade, some pressing forward, others taking each step reluctantly as their leg muscles became more and more rubbery. I found myself walking along with Senator Hayakawa, who'd been a guest on KCBS when this emergency developed. "Are you a jogger, Senator?" I asked. "Not tomorrow morning, that's for sure," he answered somewhat breathlessly. Certainly the Senator in his 70s kept up with the human tide and never complained about that long hike downward. As we progressed, the Embarcadero Center loudspeakers offered conflicting advice. First they shouted, "Use the stairway." Well, we were already on the stairway, but as the steps became more and more jammed with newcomers at every floor, the loudspeaker suddenly yelled, "Use the elevators." Fat chance for that, all the doors in the corridor were locked. We couldn't get to the elevators. On and on we went, down to floor 25 and 24 and so on down to 20. Senator Hayakawa smiling at well-wishers along the way and even stopping to shake hands. My God, I thought to myself, the building's about to blow up and he's campaigning. Finally, at floor 8 or 9 or someplace, a door opened. A security guard waved us into a corridor, and an elevator shot us down to the lobby. "Don't run," shouted a workman running by. "Don't worry," I thought. "After all that downhill stumbling, I'm not about to jog, run, hurry, gallop, or fly. I'm just going to sit right here and think of how I almost asked a senior United States senator to carry me the rest of the way." This is Don Mosley looking across the street at my office, number one Embarcadero Center.
By the way, Don said that this was the first time in his memory and perhaps in the history of radio station KCBS that we have just gone off the air. Everyone evacuated from the studios and there was no signal coming from anywhere. It didn't last too long, but for a brief moment, the signal of KCBS was silent for the first time in its history, and it's the first radio station, first broadcasting station in the country. I repeat now that San Francisco police say all streets are going to be open to traffic in the financial district by 6:30 this morning. Cleanup crews are out there very busily sweeping up the streets right now and dousing down cars and getting everything ready. So 6:30 this morning, it will all be open. They'll take the barriers down, and you can come back to work once again. It'll be completely safe. Embarcadero Building Security says that center will be open for business as usual at 6 this morning. So those of you who work right here in number 1, 2, 3, or 4, you can come to work a little bit earlier than the rest of the folks, if you care to do so. All right. It's 14 minutes now, past 5 o'clock. Let's take a look at the weather and see what's happening there. Fair and mild through tomorrow. The highs upper 60s near the coast to the 70s and 80s inland. Lows in the 50s. Small craft advisories in the afternoons and evenings for westerly winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. 56 in the city of San Francisco at the moment. In the Sierra, fair and warm through tomorrow. A few afternoon clouds in the southern mountains. Lake Tahoe highs will be in the mid-80s. Lows in the 40s. Yosemite's, let's see, they'll have highs in the mid-90s. And for the Sacramento Bay area, well, let's see, Sacramento area, I should say, fair and mild through tomorrow. So, everything looks all right around Northern California. 56 in downtown San Francisco. And our coverage of yesterday's events will continue in just a moment.
On a single chip, the size of a thumbnail, are light-sensitive electronics, circuitry
capable of responding flawlessly in microseconds a billion times over. It's a technology called optoelectronics, and a company called TRW is using it to develop components for communications, in automatic switching systems on phones, in high-speed computer operations, in photocopiers, and electronic components for the cars of the 80s, in automatic load leveling, cruise controls, automatic transmission controls, digital dashboard displays. Today's innovations are tomorrow's applications. Tomorrow is taking shape at a company called TRW.
KCBS News Time, 5:15. And we'll take a brief time out here to take a look at the sports world. The Giants beat St. Louis 4-2 yesterday. The Oakland A's were shut out 2-0 by the Cleveland Indians. The Chicago White Sox back in first place in the American League West thanks to Dennis Lamp, the right-hander who the White Sox acquired from their Northside rivals earlier this year. He almost had a no-hitter in Milwaukee last night, lost that bid when Robin Yount punched a 3-2 pitch into shallow left center field for a leadoff double in the ninth. So Lamp had to settle for a one-hitter and a 5-1 win over the Brewers. In some other American League games, Detroit edging Kansas City 4-3 and 10. The Tigers' 10th win in their last 11 games. The Minnesota Twins shut out the New York Yankees 3-0. Texas beat Toronto 6-1. Both West Coast games, Baltimore at Seattle, Boston at California, went into extra innings. The Angels beating the Red Sox 8-7 in 10 innings. And in the National League, the Atlanta Braves got a grand slammer from Bruce Benedict, plus 5 RBIs from Chris Chambliss. And they pounded the Phillies 12-2. Gary Carter had a grand slammer and 6 RBIs as Montreal clubbed the Cincinnati Reds 9-1. And the Mets shaded Houston 2-1 on rookie Wilson's 8th-inning homer. The Dodgers got by the Pirates 9-7 in 11 innings, and the Cubs shaded the Padres 4-3. The women's $100,000 tennis tourney in Mahwah, New Jersey, has lost 2 of its top 4 seeds. Top-seeded Andrea Yeager withdrew yesterday because of a shoulder injury that also may threaten her appearance in next week's U.S. Open. In addition, 17-year-old Pam Cassell of Fairfield, New Jersey, upset 4th seed Wendy Turnbull, 6-love, 6-2. National Football League teams trimmed their rosters to 50 players this week, and a few senior members in the league are out of work. The youth movement was most evident in New Orleans, where Coach Bum Phillips decided to get rid of linebacker Joe Fairspiel, a 10-year member of the Saints, guard Emmanuel Zanders, who has 8 years with New Orleans, and defensive tackle Mike Fultz, a 4-year veteran with the team. That's sports. I'm Al Hart.
Today, a lot of banks are giving excuses for not giving business loans.
I'm afraid we can't give you a loan unless you've been in business for 15 years.
But I have. In the same location.
I'm sorry. The loan officer has just left the office.
Oh?
For Guam.
But of course we'll give you a loan just as soon as the committee approves it.
But it's already been 2 years.
What's your hurry?
If you really want a loan, you ought to come to Lloyd's. Because instead of giving excuses, we're giving loans. What's more, Lloyd's is one of the few major banks in California with a loan committee of one. So once we have all the information, you'll get your answer fast.
You got it.
I got it.
You got it.
I got it.
You got it.
Because at Lloyd's Bank, California, we know who we work for. Member FDIC.
KCBS News Time, 5:19, and we'll take a brief look at the business world in just a moment.
At Emporium Capwell, we're keeping the sizzle in summer with the 8-store Summer Fashion Clearance Sale. The best of summer merchandise has been gathered from all Emporium Capwell stores and sale priced at Stanford, Stevens Creek, Alma Den, Mountain View, East Ridge, Fremont, Hayward, and Stone Ridge. Sale price summer fashions for misses and juniors to enjoy now. 5 days only, Thursday through Monday. The 8-store Summer Fashion Clearance Sale. Hot savings at Emporium Capwell.
Now, I want to repeat again for those of you, and I know there are thousands of you, wondering when the financial district around the Embarcadero Center is going to be reopened today. It's been blocked off since 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, or 1:20, I should say. Well, police say the streets will be open to traffic in the financial district by 6:30 this morning. So we're about an hour and 10 minutes away from that deadline. And then they'll pull down the barriers, and you can all come back and kind of talk about what happened yesterday. And, of course, we all have plenty to talk about. Embarcadero Building Security says this center will be open for business as usual at 6 o'clock this morning. 6 this morning, so that's less than an hour away. And it was quite a day yesterday. Can you imagine evacuating these four huge buildings and all the other office buildings around here, getting everybody out with no injuries, getting them out on the street quickly? It was really something, and congratulations to all of you involved in that evacuation. A job well done, I must say. Now, we're going to continue to talk about the episode yesterday, and we'll be talking to our KCBS reporters about their part in giving coverage, which I thought was absolutely magnificent. I don't know whether you heard it or not, but certainly I was apart from the scene here. I had left the building shortly before the disaster occurred and kept up with our on-the-spot coverage by our crack team of KCBS news people who just did a super job. Stayed out there despite the fact that they were being rained by oil and grease and PCBs, which you later found out, and of course the natural gas flowing out of there, and we didn't know what was going to happen, but our people stayed on the scene along with the firemen and policemen and PG&E crews to cover that event and keep everybody informed of what was happening, and it was a great job. Great job. Mighty proud of all the people who took part in it. 56 degrees in downtown San Francisco. All right, let's take a little look at business now before we go any further. A lot of folks interested in what's going on there. The American dollar lower at the opening of European foreign exchanges today in the wake of profit-taking. Following yesterday's sharp gains, the price of gold rose as the dollar eased. The morning gold fixing in London, $413. And the dollar was up more than 2 yen in Tokyo today to close at 230.65 yen. More on business from David Jackson.
Some California politicians are reviving talk of a consumer boycott of Japanese products. It's reaction to the U.S. government's agreement to Japanese demands that all California fruit bound for Japan be treated for medfly, whether the fruit is from medfly areas or not. The U.S. insisted that the fumigation and cold storage of all fruit would cost too much, but the Japanese wouldn't budge. The Federal Reserve Board okayed the largest ever foreign takeover of an American bank. Midland Bank of London will be buying Crocker National of San Francisco, which is the 12th largest bank in the United States. After the acquisition, Midland will be the 10th largest bank in the world. The government reports that the federal budget deficit last month amounted to $10.3 billion after a monthly surplus in June. So far this fiscal year, the deficit has run to nearly $60 billion. The government says it expects that will shrink a few billion by the time the current fiscal year ends, September 30th. Stocks opened way down yesterday but bounced back some. At the close, the Dow was up 1.75 at 901.83. David Jackson, CBS News, New York.
And we'll have more on the business in about 30 minutes from right now when we drop by the Pacific Stock Exchange. Hopefully Hutch will be able to get in there. I don't know what the situation is on Pine Street, but we'll check that out just a little bit later on. As far as the financial area is concerned, the police are saying all streets will be open to traffic in the financial district by 6:30 this morning. 6:30 this morning, that's when they'll drop the barricades. Quite a day yesterday following that gas explosion. And Lila Peterson, she did a super job, just a wonderful job. She was in the process of interviewing Senator Hayakawa on our KCBS News magazine when that gas blowout occurred. And as she said, she heard the roaring of the escaping gas, even though our news radio studios are 32 stories above the site of the accident. After she was ordered out of the building at number one Embarcadero, she continued broadcasting from a mobile unit a block away from the escaping gas.
Hundreds of bystanders milled around the intersection of Battery and Clay, watching the plume of gas stream from the broken main. Reporters, photographers, and cameramen ran back and forth through the crowd covering the story. From our vantage point in a small car, a mobile unit just north of Clay on Battery, News Radio's Charlie Serafin and I, fully cognizant of the devastation that leaking gas could mean, watched traffic rerouted, police and firemen do their jobs to keep people away from the danger zone. After 2 hours of broadcasting from the car, I noticed a film settling on the windshield like a fine mist. We assumed it was gas and remained where we were inside the car, a block away from the main. Our colleagues, along with dozens of bystanders, remained on the street, the mist settling on their heads, skin, clothes. It was not until several hours later we learned the mist contained PCBs, and I realized with a sickening thud, life isn't always better living through chemistry. Lila Peterson, San Francisco.
Thousands of office workers and businessmen and women were given a forced holiday, of course, yesterday. But as we hear from KCBS reporter Diane Callis, it didn't make everybody happy.
Bill DeWald was working in the Federal Reserve Bank when he was ordered to leave. I asked him what he was told.
Well, that it was dangerous and people should leave because there was a gas leak.
Did you smell the gas inside the building?
A little, yes.
Were you frightened?
No.
Were you irritated?
Yes.
Why, did you have some things you had to get done this afternoon?
Yes, of course.
Look at this. You're being able to sit out here on the grass on a sunny afternoon and read a novel. You can't beat that. You're getting paid for it, besides.
I guess so. But I'm also getting paid to do work.
Are you going to have a problem getting home tonight? You have a car down here somewhere.
My car is locked in a lot and I can't get the car out.
So what are your plans right now?
Well, to sit here until the car is available.
When last seen, he was still sitting in that grassy spot in the sun in front of the Federal Reserve Building. I'm Diane Callas.
Newsman Steve Little was one of the group of KCBS newspeople who continued broadcasting from the street, keeping the Bay Area informed of what was happening throughout that long afternoon and evening hours yesterday. And Steve found there was more than a little confusion in the way the incident was handled.
Certainly one of the most striking impressions I had during the events of this long afternoon was how uncoordinated were the communications between the various agencies attempting to bring the situation under control. Certainly during a crisis situation such as this, normal operating procedures become difficult, but as one who covers fires both in the city and out of it and various other extraordinary accidents that occur, and having seen firsthand the remarkable coordination possible in bringing a dangerous situation under control, it was a little disturbing to come to the realization that the left hand literally did not know what the right hand was doing at some times. PG&E was somewhere in the vicinity trying to shut off the half dozen or so gas valves that control the flow of gas throughout the financial district. The fire department was busy trying to address the safety requirements because with all that gas escaping in the entire area was in a highly combustible state, and any spark could have made this much more serious than it was. The construction crews were milling about, waiting for instructions about any assistance they could offer. Police were trying to keep order, trying to keep people out of the area, but none of the agencies seemed to know the exact status of the operation to shut off the flow of gas, which means they were not fully apprised of how serious things were. At one point, sometime around 2:30, we were told that the leak had been capped. The valves had been shut off, and the gas that was escaping was actually residual gas accumulations. But as the gas began to increase and began to look something like a gusher, people began to doubt if those reports were true, and as you know, that was confirmed by PG&E an hour or so later when they reported that the gas valves had not been shut off, but they were close to shutting them off. So certainly San Francisco is going to have to take a hard look at its emergency procedures in such situations and better prepare itself the next time.
And we're going to hear a lot more about that from many officials and people who worked on that incident yesterday. PG&E crews, by the way, really struggled to shut off that flow of gas and to patch up the broken main, and it was an extremely hazardous job, as you can imagine. It was a long time in the doing, certainly, and Bill McLaughlin of PG&E described some of the problems involved in fixing that leak.
The hole that was in the side of the pipeline is a 6-inch by 8-inch hole, which is an extremely large hole. We shut the pipeline down, but the valves that we've had on the end apparently didn't give us a complete seal. So there was still a pressure in the pipeline, and with a hole that large, we weren't able to put enough force on top of that patch to hold it down over the pipe. And we had to do some, what we call a stack on there, where we put a hole in the patch, let the gas vent up as we clamp the patch down around the edge and weld it up.
Bill McLaughlin of PG&E, the break was finally fixed just before 11 o'clock last night. And we have to salute the people from PG&E who worked on fixing that leak. Now, you can imagine the hazardous situation there where this gas has been pouring out of there, and then you bring in a crew and they have to start up jackhammers and with the chance of a spark somewhere along the line. And, of course, that was the thing that bothered all of us. We were thinking just one spark and boom, there she goes. But they stuck with the job and patched the leak, and our congratulations to them. KCBS News Time is 5:29. We'll continue our coverage of yesterday's events and what is happening today in just a moment. I want to remind you once again, those of you who work in the financial area, the police say all streets will be open to traffic in the district by 6:30 this morning. All streets will be open to traffic in the financial district by 6:30 this morning. Embarcadero Center buildings will be open a little bit earlier at 6 o'clock. So come on in. Everything's okay.
Your money goes farther at Ward's.
At Montgomery Ward this week, color televisions are on special sale. Ward's big 19-inch color portable televisions on sale for just $299. 100% solid-state chassis for trouble-free performance and brilliant color. It's a fabulous bargain for just $299.
Montgomery Ward has many different television sets now on sale at very special low prices. If you want a bargain on a television, shop Montgomery Ward. Also at Montgomery Ward this week, chain link fencing's on sale at 50% off. Half price when installed by Montgomery Ward experts. You can choose galvanized or green vinyl clad fencing. Chain link fencing adds safety for your children and pets and adds value to your property. Just phone and Montgomery Ward will provide you with a free estimate. This week, call Montgomery Ward and save 50% on chain link fencing. Montgomery Ward.
Your money goes farther at Ward.
It's 5:30, and from the Bay Calendar, Neil Simon wrote the book, Cy Coleman wrote the score. No wonder it's such a success. Sweet Charity, see a production by the talented young troupe at Cal State Hayward. Performances Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. Call 881-3261, and they'll tell you all about tickets.
Fact, tax-free saving starts October 1st, but we'll pay you 20% interest now to get a head start at Santa Barbara Savings. Fact, if you reserve your tax-free account today with a deposit in our security fund, we'll pay you 20% interest until October 1st. Then we'll transfer your money to a tax-free account where your interest is exempt from federal income tax. Up to $2,000 on a joint return, $1,000 on an individual return. Just $500 will start your fully insured tax-free account October 1st. But you can get a head start and earn 20% interest today with a $2,500 security fund deposit. Though not a savings account nor under FSLIC coverage, the security fund is fully backed by U.S. government securities. Fact, the earlier you start, the more you earn. Tax-free saving starts October 1st. 20% interest starts now. Get started today at Santa Barbara Savings.
Here's the weather for the Bay Area. Fair and mild through tomorrow. Highs upper 60s near the coast to the 70s and 80s. Inland 56 in downtown San Francisco. Nice weather in the Sierra. Fair and warm through tomorrow as well. And for those of you who are just getting up this morning wondering whether you're going to come back to work in the financial district, yes. Yes, I am happy to say everything is all right and they will open the streets for business 6:30 this morning. That's the last word from San Francisco police.
Electronic equipment is keeping our country humming. People are banking electronically, shopping electronically, calculating and computing electronically. And when that electronic equipment needs service, a company called TRW is ready to provide it. From emergency repair calls to scheduled preventive maintenance, our service organization includes more than 2,800 experienced service professionals, backed up by a computerized parts distribution system. This TRW group is linked together by a nationwide data communications network that ensures fast response and good service anywhere in the country. Almost anywhere you find electronic equipment, you'll find TRW busy keeping it humming. Tomorrow is taking shape at a company called TRW.
Good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart, and we're departing from our usual format as we have been since, 1:30 yesterday afternoon. Because of the explosion and the worry about an explosion of that gas main, it's been capped. Everything is okay. We don't have to worry. Coming back to work here, they'll open the streets at 6:30 this morning. But we'll have more coverage of that event coming up from our reporters in just a few minutes. Right now, I thought we'd take a look and see what else is happening around the world. An Egyptian official says Egyptian President Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Begin, meeting in Alexandria, have agreed to resume the Palestinian autonomy talks. Before the summit, Sadat had been somewhat reluctant to agree to resume those talks before Begin visits the United States September 8th. An aide to Sadat says he doesn't know why the Egyptian leader suddenly made that decision. The administration says it's not concerned about a return to double-digit inflation in July because President Reagan's recovery plan needs time to work. The government reports inflation last month ran at a 15.2% annual rate. Angola has called on the United Nations to take action against South Africa for an alleged invasion, warning that it may use Cuban troops to defend its borders. One of the leading Soviet experts on the United States says the Reagan administration has no intention of conducting arms negotiations. In the Soviets' words, the smell of gunpowder is ever stronger in the air. Officials in Taiwan say they have found nothing in playing back a black box recorder to indicate the cause of last Saturday's crash of an airliner on a domestic flight. 110 people were killed in that crash. A leftist newspaper in Beirut says international oil companies have informed Libya they will not be buying its oil because they're getting enough crude from Saudi Arabia at a lower price. Another five Iranian dissidents died in front of firing squads today. That brings the number of dissidents reported by Tehran Radio to have been shot since June to more than 560. Presidential counselor Edwin Meese says President Reagan has nearly ruled out deployment of the MX missile in an underground shuttle network. Meese says all other options are still under discussion. And the Voyager 2 spacecraft now moving away from Saturn, having passed by the giant ring planet yesterday. Voyager cameras showed the famous rings are indeed particles of ice. Two backup space shuttle astronauts finished simulated re-entry and landing tests of the Columbia today at Cape Canaveral. Officials say everything went just as planned. The Australian government has told people searching for the remains of a crashed Soviet satellite to stay away from any wreckage, but it maintains the satellite was not nuclear-powered. Five Mediterranean fruit flies have been discovered near Los Angeles, and that's about 300 miles from the main infestation. Japan has sent word to California that it won't ease its restrictions on fruit imports. And former President Jimmy Carter bounded up the Great Wall of China with ease today as he continued his 10-day visit. Carter scheduled to meet with the powerful vice chairman, Deng Xiaoping, tomorrow. That's a look at world and national news. And we'll be getting back to our coverage of what happened yesterday in the financial district of San Francisco, the gas blowout. And that'll be coming up in just a moment. Another reminder for those of you just waking up this morning. The police say that all streets will be open to traffic in the financial district by 6:30 this morning. Crews are out there right now putting the finishing touches on the cleanup. They've been working all through the night. And Embarcadero Building Security says the center here will be open for business as usual in just about 23 minutes from right now at 6 a.m.
The sound you hear is a 3/16th inch drill boring into a new Royal Seal Uniroyal tire. I'm Shirley Ryan, and believe it or not, that's a test we'll show you at Mark Morris Tires to prove the effectiveness of the new puncture sealing tire developed by Uniroyal. If you've ever had a puncture blowout or wake up to a flat caused by a nail, just imagine owning a tire that will seal itself when punctured. This self-sealing action is accomplished by a special patented sealant compound inside the tire. What a confidence builder when you're driving. And why hasn't someone thought of this before? Mark Morris has purchased a warehouse full of these revolutionary new Royal Seal tires. And we're holding a special 4 for the price of 3 sale now. That's right, 1 tire free when you purchase 3. Ask for the self-sealing Uniroyal at Mark Morris Auto Centers. 16 locations throughout Northern California. Check your yellow pages for the Mark Morris nearest you.
KCBS News Time is now 22 minutes before 6 o'clock, 56 degrees in downtown San Francisco. And we have San Jose's temperature at an even 60 degrees. Everything is okay in the financial district now. They've capped the pipe that blew out yesterday and caused the evacuation of tens of thousands of people in the area around the Embarcadero Center. They've been cleaning up this area bounded by California, Front, Clay, and Sansom Streets all during the night. And that job is just about completed. Everything will be back to normal by 6:30 this morning, and the police will open all traffic lanes. They'll bring down the barricades, and you can come on in. Embarcadero building will be open at 6 o'clock this morning. Those of you who work in either Embarcadero's 1, 2, 3, or 4, it's okay. Come on back to work. By the way, after the initial problem of capping the gas line had been resolved, officials discovered that they had another potential hazard, PCBs, spilled when the leak occurred. And KCBS newsman Bill Diaz has a report on the problems involved.
Relatively low levels of PCBs were found in the compressor oil that was released as a mist when the natural gas pipe was broken. And it was this oil that coated everything near the rupture with a fine film that was gooey to the touch and slippery to walk on. Dr. Richard Wade, chief of health for Cal OSHA, says if the concentration of PCBs had been 50 parts per million, the spill would have been considered a major one. At 25 parts per million, it is not a major PCB spill, but it does pose some hazards. People who are in the area should shower and dispose of clothing, particularly shoes that may have come in contact with the PCBs. And Dr. Wade says the vehicles that were covered with the goo will require special treatment.
It'll take special cleaning techniques to clean the cars if it is high-level PCBs. You can't just run through a car wash.
And what is the hazard from PCBs again?
Well, the hazards are there's very little acute, immediate effects, but the problems are is it does bioaccumulate. It builds up in the body. Once you're exposed, once you get into your body, you never get rid of it. And it is a known cancer-causing material.
Can you inhale it?
Yes, you can inhale it, or you can absorb it through the skin.
Cleanup crews with experience in handling PCBs are working to decontaminate surfaces exposed to the goo and, of course, clean up any vehicles they encounter that were coated in the area. Bill Diaz, San Francisco.
And for those of you, like our news crew, who lived through yesterday's excitement, a further word on your health from Dr. Mervyn Silverman, Director of Public Health for the city of San Francisco.
Basically, if the clothes were saturated, moist, if there's stains on it, then they can assume their clothes are saturated. If they walk through any of the oil on the ground, their shoes definitely are contaminated, and they should be also discarded. Leather holds on to the PCB and never gives them up, so you'd have it in contact with the skin. Also, I'm sure people have bathed and showered and shampooed their hair. And if they have respiratory, as I mentioned, respiratory symptoms or any other symptoms, they should be in touch with their physician.
All right, that's the word from Dr. Mervyn Silverman, Director of Public Health for the city of San Francisco. We're going to continue our coverage by the people who were on the scene yesterday, broadcasting for KCBS News Radio in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us here at the News Radio 74 on your dial. I want to remind you again, traffic will be open in the Financial District 6:30 this morning. Come on back to work. Everything is okay. They're just putting the finishing touches on the cleanup now. The final crews are cleaning up, washing down, scrubbing things, and getting it all ready for you to return to the job and maybe pick up all those things you left on your desk when you were summarily ushered out yesterday about 1:30 or so. Embarcadero Building Security says the center will be open here at 6 o'clock. Business as usual. That'll be about 18 and a half minutes from right now.
Now there's another great reason to buy a Chevrolet. A 13.8 annual percentage rate. That's right. Participating Chevy dealers have taken the sting out of financing by rolling back the interest rate to 13.8% for qualified buyers of cars and light-duty trucks delivered through August 31st. That's 13.8 on a new Chevy Chevette or Citation, Monte Carlo, Malibu, Caprice. 13.8 on a new Chevy pickup and other light-duty trucks. Even 13.8 on the new Chevy Cavalier. Compared to average national interest rates, that could mean savings of hundreds of dollars on a new Chevrolet. Those savings will vary with amount and duration of loan and state law. Here's more good news. According to July National Automobile Dealer Association used car price guides, your car could be worth more than it was a year ago. In fact, many domestic midsize and larger cars are worth hundreds of dollars more. So see your Chevy dealer, where for a limited time, you can beat the high cost of financing. But hurry, this rollback ends August 31st.
And we have 17 minutes now before 6 o'clock from KCBS News Radio, 56 degrees in downtown San Francisco, fair and mild all the way through tomorrow. We'll get back to our story of the gas blowout yesterday and the cleanup procedures. First, though, I want to take a little look at sports and see what happened there. The Giants beat St. Louis 4-2 yesterday. The A's were shut out, though, losing to the Cleveland Indians 2-0. The White Sox are back in first place now in the American League West. Thanks to Dennis Lamp. He's a right-hander who the White Sox acquired from their North Side rivals a little bit earlier this year. He almost had a no-hitter in Milwaukee last night, but he lost a 3-2 pitch to Robin Yount, who blasted it into a shallow left-center field for a leadoff double in the ninth. So Lamp had to settle for a one-hitter and a 5-1 win over the Brewers. And that means that they are now in first place over the A's. They're by a half a game. In other American League games, Detroit edging Kansas City 4-3. That was in 10 innings. That was the Tigers' 10th win in their last 11. The Minnesota Twins shut out the Yankees 3-0. Texas beat Toronto 6-1. Both West Coast teams, Baltimore at Seattle and Boston at California, went into extra innings. The Angels beating the Red Sox 8-7 in 10. And in the National League, the Braves got a grand slam homer from Bruce Benedict plus five RBIs from Chris Chambliss. And they beat the Phillies 12-2. Gary Carter had a grand slammer and six RBIs, Montreal clubbing the Cincinnati Reds 9-1. The Mets shaded Houston 2-1 on rookie Wilson's eighth-inning homer, and the Dodgers got by the Pirates 9-7 in 11 innings. The Cubs shaded the Padres 4-3. In the women's $100,000 tennis tournament in Mahwah, New Jersey, they've lost two of their four top seeds. Top-seeded Andrea Yeager withdrew yesterday. She had a shoulder injury. And in addition, 17-year-old Pam Cassell of Fairfield, New Jersey, upset fourth seed Wendy Turnbull, 6-love, 6-2. That's sports. We'll have more for you in about 30 minutes.
When it comes to international banking, a lot of banks are very provincial. This is Mr. Rollins. Could you process some foreign currency payments I'm expecting from Liechtenstein?
Liechtenstein. Is that in Orange County?
I'm calling about the foreign currency loan for my subsidiary in Japan.
Oh, yes, Mr. Rollins. We received a letter from our correspondent bank in Tokyo, and we'll get back to you.
When?
As soon as we learn to read Japanese.
At Lloyd's, we have nearly 3,000 Lloyd's Bank Group offices. We're in 44 different countries, so we deal with our own offices, not just correspondents.
Mr. Rollins, this is Lloyd's Bank. We've got your financial information from Paris.
But I only called you yesterday.
Yes, I apologize for the delay.
Lloyd's Bank Group has multinational experts in almost every country in the world. That's why when you've got business out of the country, you'll feel at home with Lloyd's. Because at Lloyd's Bank, California, we know who we work for. Member FDIC.
We're doing it all right, cause all right's the only way we know. We're doing it all right, AMC Jeep Renault. Dealers have all the right cars at the right price with right on service too. We're doing it all right, all right, all right for you.
Your California AMC Jeep Renault dealers are doing it all right with a big summer clearance. A factory incentive program on Scramblers and CJs lets them buy for less and sell for less. Jeep is perfect for California driving. And for a limited time, you'll get the year's best deals on comfortable Wagoneers and Cherokees, rough and ready CJs and Scramblers. Buy now during your AMC Jeep Renault dealers' summer clearance.
We're doing it all right, all right for you.
See your California AMC Jeep Renault dealer today.
KCBS News Time is now 14 minutes before 6 o'clock, and we have on our news line Dr. Richard Wade. He is Chief of Health of Cal OSHA. And good morning, Dr. Wade.
Good morning.
I wonder if you could fill us in a little bit about safety, clothes that were contaminated. What should people have done or should do right now?
Well, we're looking at the people who were directly exposed yesterday when they came out with the oil that was falling down noticeably wetted their clothes, or if they came in contact with oily surfaces which left stains. We're saying they should put their clothes in plastic bags, and PG&E will be making an announcement today instructing people what to do with these contaminated clothes. If there was no visible signs of contamination or the clothes were not wetted with the oil, they should be washed separately and then reused. Likewise, shoes for those persons who walk through the oily area around Embarcadero in the area where the gas was leaking, contaminated shoes should be put in a bag, and PG&E will be making an announcement on where to bring the shoes in for a settlement through PG&E. Our concern right now is not so much the direct effect of levels of PCB, because the levels of PCB were relatively low, but we do want to have those people who did to get contaminated to minimize the amount of exposure from clothing in the future.
All right, let's repeat.
The recommendation that people do discard noticeably contaminated clothes and shoes.
Yeah, let's repeat that now once again, because I know people are a little bit sleepy this morning and they may not get it the first time around. So if they were in the area yesterday, some of those who were evacuated, and there were tens of thousands of them, and they happened to get that oily spray, a spray that they can visibly see on their clothing, that clothing should be put in a plastic bag, right?
Yes.
All right, and shoes as well if you walked around on the streets. Put the shoes in a plastic bag.
Right. If you walked around on the streets that were noticeably covered by an oily film.
Right. It had to have some oil on it, not necessarily some just in the general vicinity of
right.
this.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Now, what about worries over health? That's something that a lot of people are concerned about, I know. I got PCBs on me in whatever amount. What is this going to do to me?
Well, we don't expect to have any immediate effect whatsoever from the levels of PCB that were present. As I indicated, the levels were relatively low. Both PG&E and Cal OSHA did sampling, and our levels were consistent, and they showed about 25 parts per million. But we do know that there was PCBs there. We don't expect any effect of that level as long as people take some precautions, like taking their clothing if it was contaminated and removed from their person.
Okay, now, there's another question that people have been asking. Many of these office buildings, like the one I'm broadcasting from, number one Embarcadero, have huge air conditioning systems, and before they were shut down, sucked in a lot of the outside air. Now, when those systems are turned on again, is that going to pose any danger?
We don't believe so. That there was the management of the Embarcadero Center has indicated that they did shut down the air conditioning system quite rapidly after they were notified of the spill. And that was within a matter of a few minutes after the gas line ruptured. So we don't expect any problems inside. We do know the outside of the building, Embarcadero 1 especially, is contaminated with oil up to about the 23rd or 24th floor. You can see visible films of oil on the windows.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wade. We appreciate it. I know you've been up quite a bit of the night and need some sleep, so we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Dr. Richard Wade, Chief of Health of Cal OSHA, who, like many others, has been an extremely busy man for the past few hours since yesterday afternoon around 1:30. KCBS News Time is now 10 minutes before 6 o'clock. And let's go to Jerry Wilcox, who has been out on the street walking around in the early morning hours now. He has been checking out the cleanup action so far. And, Jerry, what's it like? Are we ready to go back to work again?
Well, it appears that they're right on schedule, Al. Dr. Wade mentioned, of course, that the windows up to the 23rd level apparently have some oily film on. Now, the men who are working with the spray nozzles down here in the street obviously can't reach up that far with their steam cleaning equipment, so I'm not quite sure how that's going to be handled, maybe by window washing techniques that are used on high rises. I guess that's the only way it could be done. But they're reaching up as far as they can on the lower part of One Embarcadero Center to spray off whatever they can, that oily film. They've been working on the tiled area, on the ground level underneath the building, cleaning that up. A number of people are in there now finishing up with push brushes, pushing the water off and trying to get it all dried out. They've been steam cleaning the entire area here. IT Corporation has had a couple of big tankers that they're using to clean up. There's a suction method that's used to suction up the water that's been steamed, that's been left over from the steam cleaning process, that has the some residue from PCB and the oily material in it, and that's being suctioned up and put in a big IT tanker. A PG&E spokesman says they've gathered up about 5,000 gallons of it so far, and of course that is mostly water. But they're on schedule. It appears that they will be able to open the streets around One Embarcadero Center and this area at about 6:30 this morning, just as they planned.
All right, that's Jerry Wilcox on the scene. Everything going according to plan, and boy, they have been busy down there with a massive cleanup job. And as Jerry said, apparently everything going well, and we will be open for business once again in the Financial District 6:30 this morning. That's about 37 and a half minutes from right now. So get dressed, get ready to come back to work. We'll be glad to see you. Now, we're always glad to see Ray Hutchinson. He's at the Pacific Stock Exchange. And, Hutch, was it any problem getting into work today?
Not a problem in the world. Just as simple as pie. And it was good to see people out there cleaning up this mess, as you just had that report a few moments ago from Jerry Wilcox. Lots of things are going on in the city this morning. Lots of people awake, Al. It was a big day yesterday. I was having lunch at my one of my favorite restaurants, the Golden Eagle, and the hostess came over to my table and said, "You're going to have to get out of here." And I thought, "My God, what have I done now?"
They've caught up with you at last.
But but I got out along with everybody else and couldn't do a thing after that because, of course, well, you and I were both in the same boat. We were unable to get into the station to even check on what was going on. By that time, the evacuation had obviously taken place. And so I listened to what I thought was an absolutely fantastic job done by KCBS crew members, news people. Lila did a tremendous job. Wilson Van Alst, Steve Little, everybody. Just magnificent.
It was super, no doubt.
And
about it.
I hate to blow our own horn, Al, but I don't see how anybody who heard that job could fail to realize they were really listening to some pros in action. They did a great job. Anyway, it's apparently a lot simpler and calmer and smoother and easier today than it was yesterday afternoon. all bouncing back to normal.
Is the market going to be calm today?
Well, we bounced back a little late yesterday, too, Al. The administration, first of all, said that despite that big July rise in consumer prices, it is still optimistic about inflation for the year. Also, interest rates were on the descent late yesterday. The closely watched interest rate on federal funds, that's the one that those are the reserves that banks lend each other, that rate fell to 15.5%, down from Monday's average of 17.92%. That, too, helped the market. And you might have missed the news. The Federal Reserve late yesterday approved that Crocker Bank merger, big $820 million merger with Midland Bank of London. U.S. stocks this morning mixed, and the dollar has eased in Europe. No question about it, it's on the skids. Gold is higher, fixed higher at $413 an ounce, up $325 from late yesterday. Silver also, it's not rising, it fell, as a matter of fact. Silver on the decline this morning, down 2 cents. At $8.91 an ounce.
We have to run, Hutch.
Ray Hutchinson from the Pacific Stock Exchange.
This is Ed Hart for Union Bank with a message on priority banking. Iris and Graham Kitchen came from their native England to explore market possibilities. In their first banking experience in California, they unfortunately ran into some indifferent and impersonal service. Then Union Bank came to the rescue. And here's priority banker Debbie Villa to set the scene.
The Kitchens have a West Coast distributorship and needed help with foreign exchange as well as several other banking services.
I understand you were able to provide much more than usual service.
Yes, Ed. As their priority banker, I helped the Kitchens with foreign currency exchange, with personal investments, and gave them our special priority banking service.
So after a shaky start with another bank, the Kitchens, who distribute European tanning beds, found that all you really need to know about banking is the name of your priority banker, which in this case is Debbie Villa. Thanks, Debbie.
The Kitchens are great customers. It's a pleasant one-to-one relationship.
That's priority banking. Another exclusive from Union Bank for qualifying customers. Ed Hart for Union Bank. Member FDIC.
KCBS News Time, 4 minutes before 6.
There are times that say to you, nothing but great taste will do. It's times like this when you begin a special thirst for Heineken. Great taste in a glass. The number one in its class. That special taste from Holland, Heineken.
Imported by Van Munching of New York.
Everything's okay. Come on back to work in the Financial Center. Streets will be open in just about 30 minutes from right now.
Your Bay Area Cadillac dealer's annual financing rate is down to 13.8% through August. Plus, every 81 Cadillac in stock is selling at year-end discounts. You couldn't find a better time to save more. Lowest price of the year, lowest finance rate of the year, and ask about Cadillac's exclusive 5-year, 50,000-mile protection plan on its V8 6.4 engine. Turn your life on. Drive a Cadillac. See your Bay Area Cadillac dealer today.
Financing with approval of credit. It is now 2.5 minutes before 6. Time for the weather. Good morning to Bob Hallman.
Good morning, Al. I wouldn't want to encourage anything, but I highly suspect there may be a certain degree of malingering in the Financial Center today. People figuring that, well, maybe we'll wait another day.
Just a tad.
And,
yes.
You know, you couldn't pick a better day for it because the coast is perfectly clear this morning. Almost no fog. Temperature downtown will be near 70 degrees today, 76 degrees, Oakland, 84, San Jose, 81, Redwood City, 88, Concord, 93 at Santa Rosa. Temperature on the coast at Monterey, 70 degrees. I think all the beaches will be clear, fair, and warm, so if it's in your heart to malinger today, certainly is the day to do it as far as the weather's concerned. Sierra Nevada, a few clouds in the southern mountains, otherwise mostly fair. Lake Tahoe and a very warm 87 today with an overnight low of 42. The fair weather will continue, although we will start to pick up some more clouds along the coast as we head toward the end of the week.
And we thank you, Bob. 56 right now downtown in San Francisco.
Would you like to earn 20% interest now? And starting October 1st, $2,000 tax-exempt interest on a joint federal tax return or $1,000 on an individual return?
Who wouldn't?
Only those who haven't heard about American Savings' new insured tax-free savings account.
Tax-free savings? How does it work?
Come into any American Savings office and with a $500 minimum deposit, reserve an insured tax-free savings account. Earn a 20% special bonus $1,000 through September 30th. And on October 1st, your funds will automatically be transferred to an insured tax-free savings account.
20% now, $2,000 tax-free savings later. Americans got it all.
That's the strength of American, with assets well over $9 billion and reserves over twice legal requirements, safe for almost 100 years.
The 20% special bonus is backed by securities of U.S. government agencies. It is not a savings account or insured by the FSLIC. The tax-free savings account is insured to $100,000. Early withdrawal penalties do apply.
KCBS San Francisco.
Good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart.
And I'm Ken Ackerman.
And these are the headlines.
Well, Al, by the first light of day, most of the mess in the financial district will be cleaned up here in San Francisco, so no excuses. Work as usual today.
That's right. In about 30 minutes, they open the streets again. The gas leak has been capped. The oily sidewalks are being decontaminated.
And we have walking reporters out on scene right now picking up on the KCBS coverage of that big Tuesday afternoon blowout. It was Tuesday, wasn't it? It was Tuesday, indeed.
It just blew away. And we'll also have the Sports World Roundup. Ray Hutchinson, Bob Hallman, Chris Brecher at 6 o'clock.
CBS News, over a billion miles without a hitch, but now trouble aboard the Voyager 2. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Voyager 2 has already accomplished what all the earthbound astronomers in the history of the world couldn't: provide detailed information and clear photographs of that most majestic of the planets, Saturn, and its rings. As Voyager 2 completed its mission and swept off for a five-year journey to Uranus, a glitch developed. The platform carrying the spacecraft's cameras got stuck. That problem became evident when a series of photographs expected from Voyager failed to arrive at the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena. The platform is designed to point the cameras in a precise manner. Scientists aren't sure just what happened and are trying to get more information, as spokesman Alan Wood explains.
We want to get the data in hand that is on the spacecraft tape recorder that was recorded as it flew by the planet on the opposite side of Saturn from the Earth. That information should tell us exactly what happened to the platform. Until we solve the problem, we don't know what the future is going to be. Of course, the spacecraft is working fine, other parts of it. It's just those four instruments or four experiments that are not going to be able to be used here for the next few days until we find out what the problem is.
Wood says the scientists expect more information later today. The Soviet Union has confirmed that one of its satellites burned up over Western Australia this week, but the Russians deny that any debris from the satellite actually hit the ground. A statement says that Cosmos 434, which was launched 10 years ago as part of a lunar research program, burned up as planned. Australia is checking reports that parts of the satellite came to Earth. More CBS News in 1 minute.
The sale is on, and only at Sears. All Tough Skins jeans, 20% off. Now, like Western Denim Tough Skins, just $6.99 for little kids, $8.79 for big kids. All colors, all styles, all sizes, all 20% off until August 29th at most larger Sears retail stores. For kids' jeans with hot pockets at hot prices, you can count on Tough Skins like you can count on Sears.
It's your mother's birthday tomorrow, George.
Oh, I didn't send her a thing.
When she gets finished with you, your ears will be ringing.
What a difference a mailgram makes in 24 little hours.
When a message has to be there tomorrow, pick up the phone, call Western Union, and tell them you want to send a mailgram message. Within seconds, your greeting is on its way for delivery with the next business day's mail.
And it's only a day away, that mailgram from you.
Egyptian President Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Begin have completed 2 days of talks in Alexandria. Bruno Wassertile reports the outcome.
Egypt and Israel have decided to resume top-level negotiations on Palestinian autonomy on September 23rd, ending a break in the talks that's lasted for more than a year. The renewal of the autonomy discussions seems to be the most tangible outcome of the 2 days of summit talks held between Begin and Sadat here at Egypt's unofficial summer capital. During the talk, Sadat also reassured Begin that the peace process between the two countries will continue even after the Israeli army completes its final pullback from the Sinai Peninsula at the end of next April. Sadat said he had been greatly encouraged by a remark made by Begin in which the Israeli leader said he hoped that the ceasefire achieved last month along the Lebanese border would last forever. Some advances were also hinted at in accelerating the normalization process between Egypt and Israel, but details for the moment are being kept confidential. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, Alexandria.
The Mediterranean fruit fly continues to plague and confound California authorities. Five med flies have turned up for the first time in Southern California, home of the citrus industry, and preliminary tests show they are fertile. The new find came 260 miles south of the previous infestation line. The flies were discovered yesterday in a Los Angeles suburb. Meanwhile, Japan is still refusing to ease restrictions on fruit imports from California. More in a minute.
Enjoy your coffee and enjoy yourself.
This is Robert Young, and I want to tell you about a great summer cooler. Sanka brand for summer. It's Sanka that's iced, not hot. You just place one rounded teaspoon of Sanka instant decaffeinated coffee in a tall glass. Stir in one cup of cold water, add ice. And cream and sugar if you like.
Enjoy your Sanka brand. Enjoy yourself.
Dear folks, please send more honey. Oh.
As to the estate, here is the last will and testament of...
These typing errors are brought to you by Smith Corona, the portable typewriter with the LiftRite correction cartridge. LiftRite doesn't cover up mistakes. It lifts them clean off the page. Make no mistake. Make Smith Corona your next portable typewriter.
Dear Smith Corona, I bought the LiftRite cartridge, and I still make mistakes. But now, nobody's notices.
Former President Jimmy Carter left them huffing and puffing at the Great Wall of China today. As part of his daily jogging program, Mr. Carter raced up the eastern and western sections of the wall and set such a pace that members of his family and staff were left gasping for breath. Mr. Carter is in the second full day of a 10-day trip to China. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
KCBS San Francisco.
And good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart. Ken Ackerman's here. 56 degrees in San Francisco. Fair and mild through tomorrow. And come on back to work. Everything's okay in the financial district. And before we get to the story, Ken has complete details for you. We're going to find out about traffic. Here is Chris Brecher. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Al. Well, things are not quite as difficult in the financial district as they were yesterday, at least in terms of getting around. San Francisco Muni says the 41 line is making its entire trip this morning. The 41 line is looking good today. All the express buses, the 1 Express, 2 Express, the Geary Express, they're running normally. The Muni still is having trouble with the 55 line, which normally uses Sacramento Street. And, of course, Sacramento and Battery was the site of this gas leak yesterday, so Sacramento Street still is pretty much out of the question. The 55 line is turning around at Sacramento and Kearney and then going back out the rest of its route, so the 55 line effectively ends today, or until they get this cleaned up, at Sacramento and Kearney in San Francisco. Now, it looks like California Street is reasonably passable. Clay Street is passable this morning. You can get across Front Street, you can get across Davis. You cannot get down Sacramento Street between Front and, say, Sansom, and you cannot pass along Battery between California and Clay. So it's Sacramento and Battery that are still closed off, and each one for about a two-block length. But Clay is open, California is open. BART is running, never has been affected by this entire problem.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris, and we'll be continuing to give you further details on traffic problems or lack of problems here in San Francisco throughout the morning on KCBS. Stay with us. 56 in the city. Here's the news. Here's Ken.
And I think you'll agree, Al, it was quite a sight out there at 4 this morning, the dramatic cleanup effort.
It was
tanker
wild.
Trucks and workmen all over the place. Well, for the one or two people who may not have heard what happened yesterday, a gas main burst in the heart of the financial district, sending up a cloud of yellow-brown fumes and forcing the evacuation of thousands of people from 19 buildings around from right where we are here on number 32 and the 32nd floor of number 1 Embarcadero Center. A whirlwind of gas blew up from a construction site at Battery and Sacramento Streets. The gas roared under high pressure and rolled into the ventilation systems of nearby buildings. No fires reported. An undetermined number of people were treated for nausea and for respiratory problems. The gas caused a heavy odor throughout the financial district, which is lingering on this morning.
It is indeed. Now, we certainly want to salute all of the people from our KCBS news staff who are out there in the street, amidst all of the gas and oil and PCBs and everything else, who stood their ground and continued to keep people informed as to what was going on throughout that long afternoon.
We're walking wounded this morning.
Salute to all of you.
Working today.
Just a fantastic job. 56 degrees now in downtown San Francisco. Let's talk about the weather a while, and it looks good. Fair and mild through tomorrow, Bob Holman said. For those of you who want to say, well, I think I'll take another day off, this is a great day to do it. The beaches are going to be clear, and we'll have highs in the upper 60s near the coast to the 70s and 80s inland.
We can give you now a recap of what's happening on the streets of San Francisco and the Financial District. Let's call in Jerry Wilcox.
Good morning, Alan Ken. I'm down on the ground level of One Embarcadero Center now. Chris, of course, ran down which streets for you are still closed and that sort of thing. And I can report that Battery, as Chris indicated, is still closed between Clay and California. However, it should be open fairly soon, and they seem to be on target in terms of having, they hope to still have those streets open, Sacramento and Battery, by 6:30 this morning. Battery's in better shape. They still have some pools of water, and they're using squeegee mops and brushes and that sort of thing, cleaning up that water over on Sacramento still, and so Sacramento's not a very good bet right at this minute. However, as I say, they still are on schedule, and a PG&E spokesman assured me that people will be able to get to their offices this morning if they're coming in right now. There may be a problem still on Sacramento Street and at this moment still on Battery Street, but you will be able to get into your buildings. They're still cleaning up the water left over from the steam cleaning process. Presumably that's going to be finished quite soon. The tiles here on the lower level of One Embarcadero Center, on the ground level, some pools of water here and there, but it's beginning to dry out pretty well now. They've brushed it into the drains. And there are still some cars across the street, across on the other side of Battery Street at Battery and Commercial in a small parking lot that have to be steam cleaned. I understand they've had to steam clean about 75 cars in all so far, and some people who had cars in the area and drove out are going to be bringing them back in to have them cleaned up. So there's still some cleaning up going on here, but we're still pretty much on schedule for that 6:30 opening of the streets.
Could you give that old wreck, the blue car that I have parked on Battery, tell him to steam clean that, too? That hadn't been washed in 3 years, Jerry. Anyway, we're gonna take care of business down there, and those of you who have been wondering whether or not you can come back to work today, yes, everything will be okay. As Jerry told you, they've been very busy throughout the night cleaning it up, and at 6:30, they lower the barricades, and it's business as usual. KCBS News Time is now 11 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Inflation coverage for your home was a good idea when State Farm introduced it over 10 years ago. Now, with the way home building prices in California are going, it's almost a must. State Farm inflation coverage helps your insurance keep up with the cost of replacing your home automatically, month by month. Your premium is adjusted only at renewal time. Ask your State Farm agent about automatic inflation coverage.
And like a good neighbor,
from the Bay Calendar, who are the Louis Tiffany's of today? Find out at a presentation about California glassmakers. It's sponsored by the San Mateo County Arts Council, and it's going to happen tomorrow at noon. Call 593-1816, 593-1816, and they'll give you all the information.
We're talking with Jody Scheckter, world champion Ferrari Formula One driver, about the new fuel-injected Lancia Coupe. Jody, after driving the car, what do you think?
This car is very precise. If you're an engineer, you can see that the specifications of the Lancia Coupe are very good. But if you're not, you really have to get in and test drive this car to really see the qualities. I found a lot of the qualities the same as the Formula One car.
Thanks, Jody. Lancia Engineering just scored again with a stunning 1-2 victory at Watkins Glen to win the 1981 World Endurance Championship. Not only is Lancia a great performer, right now it's one of the greatest buys around. A factory incentive program is enabling Lancia dealers to pass on extraordinary savings to new Lancia buyers. So take Jody Scheckter's word for it. Test drive and test price a Lancia Coupe. You'll like the performance and the price. Lancia, driving redefined.
Test price and test drive Lancia at your local dealers today. And our coverage of yesterday's gas blowout will continue after the Sports World Roundup.
Great Western Savings introduces tax-free savings. Starting October 1st, Great Western will pay you tax-free interest on the money you deposit in a special, fully insured, tax-free savings account. Only this special Great Western tax-free account lets you exempt a full year of savings interest from your federal income tax. Up to $2,000 tax-free interest on a joint return. Up to $1,000 on an individual return. This is a one-year account, and early withdrawal penalties will apply. To earn tax-free interest on your fully insured funds, reserve your special account today. And Great Western will pay you a bonus of 18% interest on your money between now and October.
This 18% bonus plan is backed by U.S. government securities. It is not a savings account and is not insured by the FSLIC. Reserve your tax-free account today at any Great Western savings office. Yes, the Financial District will be open for business. They're lowering the barricades at 6:30 this morning, so come on back to work, and we'll have Wilson Van Alstyne here shortly to tell you all about what happened yesterday and what you can look forward to today.
A Sports World Roundup. Good morning. I'm Ron Weber.
Here's the three ball, two strikes, hits the out. There is a ball that will drop into left field. It is a base hit. And there is the bid from a no-hitter broken. There's a throw to second. And Yount is in there standing up with a short double in the left field.
George Hoffman describing the ninth inning leadoff blow that made White Sox hurler Dennis Lamp settle for a one-hitter, beating Milwaukee 5-1. Lamp stuck with his sinker ball.
I just went right after him with my best pitch after the fifth inning. I don't think I threw too many breaking balls after the fifth. And that's what Yount hit for the base hit.
Chicago now leads the American West. Two shutouts, the Twins' Darryl Jackson and Jerry Kuzman blanked the Yanks 3-0, and Cleveland's Len Barker 3-hit the A's 2-zip. Ranger Fergie Jenkins 4-hit the Blue Jays 6-1. On the hitting side, here's Pete Sark in Detroit's 10th inning.
Kelleher running for Hebner on second. Gibson on first. Quisenberry, the pitcher. Parrish ready. Quisenberry's pitch. Line drive right field. Kelleher heads for third. Here comes the throw. It's bobbled in the outfield. And Kelleher will score with the winning run. Tigers beat the Royals 4-3.
Two more extra frame affairs. The Red Soxer Jim Rice homered in the top of the 10th. The Angels came back to win 8-7 on Bobby Gritch's two-run single. Boston had led 6-0 in the first inning. And Jose Morales, three-run homer in the 12th, left it Orioles 6, Mariners 5. Now this.
Looking for a good price on your auto insurance? Well, you can follow the lead of millions who found good, low-cost auto insurance at State Farm. You'll get State Farm's low rates, plus the good neighbor service you really can't put a price on. See your State Farm agent for a good buy on your auto insurance today. And while you're there, ask about a real value on life, health, and homeowners insurance, too.
And like a good neighbor,
listen, and you know it all.
Good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart with Ken Ackerman, and these are the headlines.
Reporters are on scene right now for a morning debriefer on the big gas blowout in San Francisco yesterday.
Snafus cropped up during the emergency yesterday, and the acting mayor talks about them.
There was an evacuation in Santa Rosa yesterday in the downtown area.
And let's see about traffic now. Here is Chris Brecher with the latest. Chris?
Well, on our freeways and city streets, things are doing pretty well this morning. No stalls or accidents reported. San Francisco city streets obviously are still a little bit tied up with this cleanup effort. And evidently, the 6:30 deadline for the end of the cleanup seems to be holding. So we have about 15 more minutes during which you'll find Battery closed between Clay and California. You'll find Sacramento Street closed between Front and Sansom. And the other streets in that area are open. California is open. Clay Street itself is open. Drum, Davis, Front Street, they're open. You'll find the 55 Muni line still has to turn around at Sacramento and Kearney, and that'll stay in effect until Sacramento Street is reopened. Golden Gate Transit buses are coming in along Jackson to Drum to California, and then they're continuing along their regular routes. BART is having a delay from Fremont to Richmond. It's a 15-minute delay, but it's only happening one time. After the next Fremont-Richmond train comes through, that delay is all over.
Thank you, Chris. KCBS News Time is now 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. And here is a man who was one of those in the eye of the hurricane yesterday. Wilson Van Alst, you were out among them when everything was happening. And what is your assessment of how things went? Well, what's happening right now?
Right now, this building, Embarcadero Center, number one, so it smells a little bit like a laundromat downstairs as the cleanup operation goes on. The evidence of soap sud smell is very much in the air down here. But again, we're getting reassurances that people will be able to get to their jobs just about. about on time this morning. Yesterday was incredible, and the word you used, hurricane, about describes it very aptly. I was going into a studio to make a recording when I started to hear a strange noise, and I realized that I couldn't make a recording with that noise going on in the background, and so I started trying to figure out where it was coming from. It seemed like it might be coming from the air conditioning system, but I put an ear up there and heard nothing, and finally went up close to one of the windows that goes from floor to ceiling here in Embarcadero Center, and that window pane was vibrating. You could put your hand on it. It was shaking from a noise outside, and you realized all of a sudden that there was some tremendous loud noise going on continuously outside, sounding something like a jet engine, except much louder than anything you've ever heard in an airport, really. And I tried to think about what this noise must be like to people down in the street if it was this loud 32 stories above the deck. There was only one thing in my history that had made any noise similar to that, and that was a story I covered down at the Kaiser Permanente cement plant in Cupertino, which happened to be a gas main leak. It was a 14-inch pipe there, a 16-inch pipe yesterday that was ruptured. That thing had sent flames some 75, 80, 100 feet up into the air, and I knew the potential if that is what we were dealing with yesterday, and it was crazy. It was one of those things that says, if this is really going on in San Francisco, and if it ignites, what's going to happen next? The next course of action I took was to go into the studio where Lila Peterson was broadcasting. There were already announcements coming over the public address system in Embarcadero No. 1 telling people to take the stairways down to safety, that they were indeed evacuating the building. I tried to make sure that Lila's guests and then Lila were able to get out. Our transmitter at that point was still on the air, and I tried to take over a microphone to tell people sort of what I could gather as to what was happening. My voice was just not functioning very well. It was one of those...
Lila said that she thought the whole thing was a joke until you walked in. And she said when she looked at your face, she knew this was no joke.
This was, as far as you can tell, the real thing. After the original evacuation procedures began here at Embarcadero No. 1, the original procedures telling people to take the stairwells, there was a change of instruction, and suddenly we started hearing this over the intercom. We were being told toward the end of that evacuation procedure that the elevators were okay to take. We knew at that point, or at least we hoped, that there was no fire immediately in the building. We couldn't tell exactly what was going on in the street at that point, and we were hoping simply that nothing would ignite all that gas that was accumulating down on the street level in San Francisco. Charlie Serafin was on his way back to the station, we understand, from what might have been a very nice luncheon, and Charlie is on our news line right now to pick up the story from there.
Good morning, Van and Al and Ken. Yes, Larry Cooper and managing editor Bob Agner and myself were at the 49ers kickoff luncheon, a very pleasant affair, and we're about 10 blocks away, I would imagine. When we were approximately 8 blocks from Embarcadero 1, we heard the noise as well, this tremendous hissing sound. We turned to one another and asked, what in the world could that be? So we started picking up our pace a bit and heading toward the source of the sound, not really heading back to work at that point, not realizing that the sound was coming from as near to the Embarcadero Center No. 1 as it was. We came up to the police lines, showed our identification, and went through the police lines and got close to the scene, realized that there was a major emergency, and we broke up at that point. Larry Cooper went in to get on a telephone to call the newsroom and see what we could do from the street level. And Bob Agner and I continued on to get to the command post if we could and get an update there. We realized that when we approached the scene that, in fact, we were not on the air anymore, that somebody inadvertently had tripped the switch on the transmitter when they evacuated the floor, so we were unable, if we had information, to pass it on. And I ended up going to a remote unit where I met Lila Peterson, and we said, how can we get this thing on the air? And we were told, well, we we can't. The next thing, over the two-way radio, we hear Larry Cooper's voice saying, I'm up here, give me instructions and I'll turn it back on. And in fact, the chief engineer, Howard Imichus, was standing by. He radioed instructions up to Larry Cooper. Larry Cooper turned the transmitter back on. In a matter of minutes, we were back on the radio again and trying our best to describe what was at that time kind of a ball of confusion, people wandering around and wondering why were we asked to leave and what is that stuff and look at it going into the air. And the thing, Al, that and Van, that really amazed me was that the situation as it developed never seemed to let up. It continued to intensify, and we weren't really sure how dangerous the situation we were in, and it never got better. It went on for hours.
There's no question about that. I think a little more credit to Larry Cooper, the guy who came up the elevators when everybody else was going down to get KCBS back on the air. There's an old line from Gunsmoke. They say it's a chancy job and a little bit lonely. He was a very lonely guy yesterday.
It was indeed. That was an amazing job by Larry, and certainly by Charlie Serafin and Lila Peterson and, well, everybody else that was involved, Van, and all the people who stayed with the ship out there, carrying our remote broadcast, letting people know what was going on. And, Charlie, all we can say to you is a great job, and we're thankful you were there to take over and do the work and let us know what was happening. I know I was glued to my radio. I was over in Contra Costa County. I had driven out of the studio just moments before the incident occurred and was unaware of the whole thing until I tuned into the station and heard these very dramatic broadcasts along with the rest of the Bay Area. 56 degrees now in downtown San Francisco. Our coverage is going to continue here of this event. Let's see, who do we have out there? I've sort of lost track. It's Jerry Wilcox. Jerry Wilcox is out on the street right now. Jerry, have they lowered the barriers yet, and can we get back to work?
It's beginning to look, Al, as though it's going to take a little bit longer. An interesting development here. I was just talking to one of the officers on the street who was manning one of the barricades at Battery and Clay, I guess it is. And they had started to take down the barricades at Battery and Clay and open up Battery Street just a few moments ago. And then they got word that Dr. Mervyn Silverman, the head of the San Francisco Health Department, wanted to make his own inspection before the streets were to be opened up again. He reportedly is on his way down to the scene now, and we're waiting for him. In the meantime, Battery has been closed down again. So they started to open it up. They closed it down again, and the cleanup is continuing on Sacramento. It's taking them a little longer on Sacramento. Still some water, debris, and so forth that they're working on over there with mops and equipment and so forth. And so Sacramento obviously is going to take past 6:30, and we'll have to wait and see on Battery, but it looks like it's going to be a little later than 6:30 at this point.
So we just don't know when Dr. Silverman will complete his findings. Is that true, Jerry?
Al, I did not hear all of your question. If you can repeat, I'll try again.
Oh, all right. I was just wondering, we don't know when Dr. Silverman will complete his investigation then.
That's affirmative, Al. All we understand from the officer is that Dr. Silverman is on his way to the scene now, and presumably he will make some sort of on-site inspection and maybe give the go-ahead to open the streets, and maybe not.
Okay, Jerry, we'll be standing by waiting for word from you on when they lower the barricades. And I'm wondering, of course, one of the people who was covered with that oily slick and reeking of gas and PCBs or whatever, Charlie Serafin, still on our news line this morning. What'd you do with your clothes, Charlie?
Well, Al, it's kind of an interesting story. I have them in a plastic bag, as suggested, but I'm sitting here in a downtown hotel in San Francisco with a towel draped about me right now, kind of wondering what I would look like on the Bay Area Rapid Transit if I were to try to make it to my house this way. So I haven't really solved that dilemma yet.
So you're waiting for somebody to bring around some shirts and a pair of socks and shoes, huh?
Well, I'm going to try room service a little bit later and see if they can't help me out with something. I really haven't put a lot of thought to it. I've been on the telephone much of the night trying to make sure that we could coordinate all of our efforts and get the information out to people in the morning. I have another question, too, which I can ask of you, and maybe you can find out the answer. One of our, the news unit that we actually broadcast from yesterday, the little yellow Ford Fiesta, was coated with this gook. Fortunately, most of it got on the outside of the car and not on me, and I stayed inside, and Lila Peterson came and sat down, and Don Mosley came and sat down, Steve Little came in and sat down, and Bob Melrose did a report from the car, and everyone kind of got up and took the passenger seat, and I stayed behind the wheel with the window rolled up. People said, isn't it warm in there? Wouldn't you rather have your window down? And I said, no, thank you. So that was kind of fortunate. But the vehicle itself has since been removed to Contra Costa County, where Diane Callis has it at her residence, and I'm sure she's wondering what in the world she's going to do with it. Has there been any program for those people whose cars were contaminated and then taken out of the financial district?
Well, I'm not sure. I know they were steam cleaning a lot of those cars that were in that parking lot right across the street by the Federal Reserve Building. And I imagine that's going to have to be the procedure, get a thorough steam cleaning of that stuff, because just throwing a little water on is not going to do the job. I don't know. I don't have clear information on just what happened to those cars that were contaminated or what procedures will be followed. But we'll find out and pass that along, Charlie.
Okay.
And I hope you get a suit of clothes.
And a shirt and a pair of slacks would be nice, or jeans, or even jogging pants. Or
Charlie Serafin, sitting in his lonely hotel room without a stitch on. Well, he's wearing a towel. That's all right. But don't get out on the street that way, Charlie. People will talk. All right, Charlie. Thanks very much. Charlie Serafin, who just did a great job yesterday, along with all the rest of the KCBS crew. 56 degrees in downtown San Francisco. Now, what about the weather? I think we ought to talk to Bob Hallman. He is standing by at the moment. Are we going to have any breeze to blow away the remaining smell of gas around here?
I think so. Westerly winds will be 15 to 30 miles an hour, afternoon hours. Now, starting out this morning, the winds won't be too strong, but they'll pick back right up. I just get a picture of Charlie's got me going here. Charlie Serafin, as you like him. 70 degrees for downtown today, 76 degrees at Oakland, 81 degrees at Redwood City, 84 at San Jose. Concord area tonight, look for temperatures near 88 degrees and close to 90 degrees at Livermore. Temperatures are going to be warmer the next couple of days with a warming trend. Just a few, very few patches of fog floating around the area. Fair and warm through Thursday with a few afternoon clouds in the southern mountains of the Sierra. Otherwise, very warm with Lake Tahoe 87 for a high, 42 for a low. Southern California is on its way to a scorcher again. Temperatures about 76 degrees at Burbank at this hour. They will be up to 105, maybe 108 degrees before this is all over. To straighten out the traffic mess this morning, let's go to Chris Brecher now.
Well, it takes the fire department to straighten out this car on fire southbound 680 at Bernal in Pleasanton. That's southbound 680 at Bernal. That's in Pleasanton. And in the South Bay, you'll find no stalls or accidents. An advisory, though, if you plan to come into the financial district of San Francisco, take the bus, take BART, especially if you were evacuated from your building yesterday. Do not try to drive into the financial district today. It's going to be difficult enough just to navigate the streets. And then, of course, you'll find the parking lots are still full of cars who were left there yesterday.
If you're fed up having to work over your money instead of having your money work for you, and you're tired of moving from one short-term account to another to keep up with interest rates, do this. Open a Bayview Federal Savings Small Savers Certificate that keeps up with interest rates for you. It's based on 30-month U.S. Treasury securities, and the rate is guaranteed for the certificate term. It's insured to $100,000 by the FSLIC, has a low $500 minimum deposit, and there's a substantial penalty for early withdrawal. Go to the Bayview office near you. Open a 2.5-year small savers certificate today. For complete information, call Bayview toll-free at 800-632-5266. 800-632-5266. If you live in the West, you should have a Bayview.
Bayview's 2.5-year small savers certificate currently earns 15.9% with an annual yield of 17.489% through September 7th.
News around the world, news around the bay. 49er football, play-by-play. Professional, reliable, dependable news. Everything the world is telling you. News and more on 74. KCBS San Francisco.
Good morning. CBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart.
I'm Ken Ackerman.
And these are the headlines.
Sadat and Begin agree to disagree. They'll talk it over later in Israel.
The Air Traffic Control Task Force reports today on safety in the skies.
And a snag is developed in the Voyager 2 operation.
And we have a little snag, too, developing in the fact that we were going to open all the streets to traffic here. In fact, they should be open right now, but Dr. Mervyn Silverman, our health director, wants to take a look at some of those streets and see if everything is all right. So that's been delayed, and when everything is open, we will let you know and pass it along to you. And, of course, Chris will give you updates on traffic throughout the morning. Now, let's get to the news quickly, and here's Ken Ackerman.
The stalled Palestinian autonomy talks are to resume late next month. That announcement from Alexandria after President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin concluded a two-day summit. Bruno Wassertile with an update from Alexandria.
At their joint news conference following 2 days of talks here in Alexandria, President Anwar Sadat and Prime Minister Menachem Begin announced that autonomy talks on the Palestinian question will be resumed on September 23rd and 24th. This seems to be the biggest achievement of this two-day summit. Prime Minister Begin also said that he hoped that normalization between the two countries will be accelerated soon. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, Alexandria.
President Reagan's top advisors are meeting in California this morning. Gene Gibbons reports the aim is to find out how to increase defense spending without drowning the government in red ink.
According to Van Ooms, the chief economist of the House Budget Committee, their task is a difficult one. Now that a massive tax cut is on the books, says Van Ooms, the administration is running up against the economic rule that there's no such thing as a free lunch.
What the stock market and the financial markets, I think, are telling us is that if you don't find ways to pay for it, and you therefore are facing very large budget deficits in the future because you've tried to both have your cake and eat it too, that it's going to be a pretty painful life.
The administration insists there is a way to avoid the big budget deficits that Wall Street is apparently worried about, but today's meeting in California indicates it hasn't found it yet. Gene Gibbons, Capitol Hill.
KCBS News Time, 25 minutes before 7 o'clock.
The National Transportation Safety Board meets with its Air Traffic Control Task Force today on the safety of United States Airways in light of the controller's strike. Although federal authorities maintain air travel is just as safe as ever, the board is comparing conditions before and conditions after that strike. And by the way, one veteran pilot claims he's been suspended by U.S. Air for telling passengers flight delays were due to unqualified people replacing the strikers. Brian Power Waters told the Baltimore Sun that after making that statement over the intercom in his airplane, his supervisors told him he could get off the plane and go home for a while. According to the PATCO president, Robert Poli, the air controller's strike is working. Gene Gibbons reports that Poli says the strike is not moot, as the government claims.
He insists the government will eventually have to come to terms with his union and says it's possible there could be a settlement within 30 days. Poli professes not to be worried about something that could happen sooner, a favorable ruling on the government's effort to take away PATCO's right to represent the controllers.
The possibility of reinstatement is also there, too, even if that comes down. That happened to us once before and we were reinstated as the representative of the controllers.
Poli says one reason he feels the tide has turned in the controllers' dispute is Congress will reconvene soon. He believes congressional hearings on the situation will create additional pressure for a settlement. Gene Gibbons, Capitol Hill.
Well, we didn't get to our business report a little bit earlier, so we thought we'd bring in Hutch here for a quick touch on what's happening in the business world, Ray.
I will give you just a swifty, Al. Oil stocks bounced back late yesterday, so did some of the drug stocks, and they helped the market come up with a bit of a comeback. The Dow, as a matter of fact, was up almost 2 points, so it was a better-looking market by far at the end of the day. U.S. stocks mixed in Europe this morning, and gold, lots of folks concerned about that always. Gold was fixed higher in London this morning, $413 an ounce. That's up $325 from yesterday afternoon. Ray Hutchinson from the Pacific Stock Exchange.
Thank you, Hutch. 56 right now downtown. And for traffic news, once again, here's Chris.
We still have that vehicle on fire southbound 680 at Bernal in Pleasanton. Traffic picking up a little bit now on the San Mateo Bridge. Still doing well on the Dumbarton Bridge. No stalls or accidents in the South Bay, but we still have Battery Street in San Francisco closed between Clay and California. Still have Sacramento Street closed between Front and Sansom. And the Muni's number 55 Sacramento line is turning around at Kearney Street and effectively ending its run at Sacramento and Kearney today. When they get Sacramento Street open again, of course, that'll be back to normal. Golden Gate Transit is detouring its inbound buses along Jackson to Drum to California, and that too will stay in effect as long as the road closures in San Francisco.
First Line Report, news and commentary. I'm Diane Sawyer, CBS News State Department correspondent, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The controversial sale of AWACS planes to Saudi Arabia. Some arguments and counterarguments in a moment.
Hi, Pat Summerall for True Value Hardware Stores to tell you that you can cut your home energy bill by as much as 15% simply by going without hot water. But if that sounds too drastic, then I suggest you install a True Value water heater. True Value water heaters are engineered to heat water faster and more efficiently. And each True Value water heater comes with complete install-it-yourself instructions so you can save even more. You'll find a selection of sizes in both gas and electric models available only at participating True Value hardware stores and home centers. And tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
Enjoy your coffee and enjoy yourself.
This is Robert Young, and I want to tell you about a great summer cooler. Sanka brand for summer. It's Sanka that's iced, not hot. You just place one rounded teaspoon of Sanka instant decaffeinated coffee in a tall glass. Stir in one cup of cold water, add ice. And cream and sugar, if you like.
Enjoy your Sanka brand. Enjoy yourself.
The battle over the Saudi AWACS is just getting started. Congress will have until October 30th to conduct a noisy fight and then take action on the issue if it chooses. But both houses of Congress must vote to block the sale, or else the deal will go through. It promises, at the least, to be very good theater, with strong protagonists on both sides. And here's a preview of the way the arguments probably will go. Opponents are going to say the penetrating AWACS radar vision will destroy Israel's best defense. Namely, allow Saudi Arabia to monitor Israel's surprise preemptive strikes. The administration will agree that in theory the radar could forewarn of an Israeli air attack, but Reagan officials argue in reality it isn't very likely. First of all, they say, the Saudi vulnerability is in the east, southeast, and southwest of Saudi Arabia, and that's where the U.S. and Saudis agree the AWACS should be stationed. From those regions, officials say, the AWACS can't see what's happening in Israel, and indeed, that's just how the Israelis got away undetected during the strike on the nuclear reactor in Iraq. But what about the ancient Saudi hostility to Israel, opponents will say? Israel can't rely on current Saudi moderation. The administration will counter by saying, in the first place, the U.S. has promised to keep Israel's armed forces superior to the Saudis, and the Israelis could simply take out the gawky AWACS radar planes if they choose. In the second place, officials say, the equipment on the Saudi AWACS has been stripped down so that it wouldn't really be effective in helping the Saudis coordinate an attack. But there are also opponents of the AWACS sale who oppose it on its own and not because of Israel. The people who say that Saudi Arabia has given little in return, and furthermore, there's no reason to sell the Saudis the plane, since the current arrangement, U.S. AWACS on loan, is working just fine. Indeed, these are the arguments that put the U.S. on shakiest ground, forced to muster intangibles, such as the need for the U.S. to prove it will be a good friend, and the possibility that the Saudis will soften in the future. If the debate on the AWACS is predictable, what about the vote? Well, the fact is, under this procedure, no president yet has failed to win one House of Congress to his side, and Ronald Reagan will probably get his way, too. But until then, steel yourself for several weeks of clamorous debate about the Saudi AWACS up on Capitol Hill. Now this.
Hi. Hope you got what I need.
What's wrong?
Pain, itch, you know, hemorrhoids. Been driving my truck all day, and I need Preparation H.
Right. Gives lots of people temporary relief. Its special ingredients relieve pain and itch flare-ups, help shrink swelling of inflamed hemorrhoidal tissue.
That's real medicine. I'll take ointment and suppositories.
Hi. Feeling better today?
Oh, thanks to you, good buddy.
Preparation H relieves pain and itch, helps shrink swelling. Use only as directed.
First Line Report. I'm Diane Sawyer, CBS News.
And at 18 minutes before 7 o'clock, let's find out how the traffic situation is on this Wednesday morning with Chris Brecher.
Well, it looks good on the San Rafael Bridge this morning. Marin County has no problems, and on 101 in Cotati, you'll find traffic doing pretty well, says Fireman's Fund. One accident has been with us this morning, southbound 680 at Bernal in Pleasanton, where there was a car pulling a trailer, and it looks like they both caught on fire. Southbound 680 at Bernal in Pleasanton. BART had one delay earlier. That's taken care of. The Muni still turning around the 55 line at Sacramento and Kearney, but that will be eliminated as soon as Battery in Sacramento is reopened.
Did you know there's a marvelous new way to clean draperies? Undoubtedly, it's the safest, most efficient method ever devised. It's computerized to match cleaning procedures with the individual fabric of your particular drapes. It's called the Custom-Matic system, and only O'Connor has it. So what makes Custom-Matic so great? Well, for one thing, it brings back the true original colors of your drapes to their sparkling best. It renews dazzling whites and soft pastels. It restores drapery fabric. There is no fading, no shrinking, no disappointments. And O'Connor's low summertime price is very affordable, just $4.90 per width, which also includes O'Connor's certified workmanship, careful removal, perfect rehanging, even hems, pleats rolled, rods checked. And one phone call does it all, 588-7161. O'Connor Carpet, Upholstery, and Drapery Cleaners, in business since 1937. That's 588-7161. But please call now, because $4.90 is a summertime special.
News radio time is now 17 minutes before 7 o'clock, 56 in San Francisco and in San Jose, and even 60 degrees. Nice day ahead.
It's all right here at Grand Auto. Everything you'll ever need automotive. From our complete parts department for foreign and domestic cars to our complete service department. Tools, batteries, brakes, wheels, tires, and more. Waxes, oils, polishes, accessories, even the famous sheepskin seat covers. They're here at Grand Auto. Top quality at super low, low prices. Yes, Grand Auto. For everything automotive for you.
The best way your car can cost less than far at Grand Auto.
Hi, this is Tom Campbell. This week at Grand Auto, we've got a fabulous buy. The Esprit by Kleber metric radial tires. That's right, tires for most popular import cars. As low as $29.99 each for these radial tires. That's a 155 speed rated 12 Blackwell plus 18 exchange. And it's installed free on regular wheels. $29.99 each at Grand Auto. The ride, the performance, the handling, the gas-saving characteristics of radial tires. $29.99 each at Grand Auto this week. And with your good credit, open up a Grand Auto charge account. Grand Auto for you.
And just a brief look at sports now. The Giants beat St. Louis 4-2 yesterday. The Oakland A's lost 2-0 to Cleveland. The White Sox are now back in first place in the American League West thanks to that Oakland loss and to Dennis Lamp, the right-hander who led the Sox to almost a no-hitter in Milwaukee last night. He lost out when Robin Yount punched a 3-2 pitch into left center field for a leadoff double in the ninth, but Lamp settled for a one-hitter and a 5-1 win over the Brewers. In other American League games, Detroit edged Kansas City 4-3-10, the Tigers' 10th win in their last 11 games. The Twins beat the Yankees 3-0, Texas over Toronto 6-1. Baltimore at Seattle and Boston at California went into extra innings, the Angels beating the Red Sox 8-7 in 10 innings. In the National League, the Atlanta Braves got a grand slammer from Bruce Benedict plus 5 RBIs from Chris Chambliss and pounded the Phillies 12-2. Gary Carter had a grand slammer and 6 RBIs as Montreal clubbed the Cincinnati Reds 9-1. The Mets shaded Houston 2-1, and the Dodgers got by the Pirates 9-7 in 11 innings, the Cubs shading the Padres 4-3. The women's $100,000 tennis tourney, that's in Mahwah, New Jersey, has lost two of its top four seeds. Top seed, Andrea Yeager, withdrew yesterday because she had a shoulder injury, and that almost is going to threaten her appearance in next week's U.S. Open, too. In addition, 17-year-old Pam Casale of Fairfield, New Jersey, upset fourth seed Wendy Turnbull, 6-love, 6-2. And that's sports. I'm Al Hart.
Listen, and you know it all.
Good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart with Ken Ackerman, and these are the headline stories.
Andy Casper says the gas leak yesterday could have been a major disaster.
Health Director Dr. Mervyn Silverman is checking out the financial area at this moment to make sure that the streets there are clear of contamination by PCBs.
And our very own governor is accused of impeding justice here in San Francisco.
And we'll have the traffic news coming up in just a moment, but right now, details on the big story yesterday. Here is Ken Ackerman.
Well, San Francisco's fire chief, Andrew Casper, is right there on the streets of San Francisco at Sacramento and Battery, and he said there that the gas pipe rupture in the city's financial district had the potential for creating a towering inferno.
When we consider the amount of gas that was leaking out of that domain and the possibility of it being sucked in by air conditioning systems in the various buildings and a person striking a match or lighting a cigarette with a lighter or a pilot light source being found to cause an explosion, this could have been very, very serious.
Asked to describe a worst-case situation, Andy Casper said that would be when the air conditioning unit sucked gas into a building. He waved his arms toward number one Embarcadero Center, where we are, Al, which is in the middle of the cordoned-off area surrounding the ruptured gas line. He said, forget about the PCB. Anytime you get a condition where the proportion of gas to air is 4-12%, you have a potential for a disastrous explosion.
And it was dangerous indeed. Bob Melrose, one of the many KCBS reporters who was out on the scene yesterday covering that story, he's on our newsline right now.
And, Bob, I have to ask you about your interview yesterday with Supervisor and Acting Mayor Lee Dolson. That was most interesting to hear Mr. Dolson's comments about the lack of preparedness that the city has in case of a disaster.
Well, he, like everybody else, Al, has heard about it and is aware of what the city has been trying to do with its disaster preparedness. I think yesterday was the first time he and a lot of people have actually seen what can happen when something like that does occur. And I guess he's seen enough, and he's going to try to get some more money out of his fellow Board of Supervisors. So Emergency Services Director Phil Day has enough people to work in his office. He Phil Day only has one other person, and Mr. Dolson apparently has seen enough as far as he's concerned, and is going to apparently try to get some more money out of the Board of Supervisors so people can be put in that office. And he told me that he's going to turn in a full report to Mayor Feinstein when she gets back in town, and is going to explain to her exactly what happened and some of the problems that occurred. He said there were definite communication and transportation problems between all the parties involved, police, fire, PG&E, and that was one thing I noticed when I was out there at times. It didn't appear to be, nobody seemed to know who was in charge or who was actually working on trying to get the gas main stopped.
Will the mayor be back today?
The mayor is out of town, I think, for the rest of this week and part of next week. She is trying to drum up some business for the shipyards here in San Francisco, and I understood that she was in Washington talking to Defense Department officials, and she's going down to Mississippi sometime late this week or early next on the next leg of her trip to see the commissioning of a battleship down there. And
She's canceled that plan. We just had word that she is flying back to San Francisco today, according to our Washington Bureau, Bob, so she'll should be here sometime today.
Okay, well, and I'm sure Mr. Dolson and she will sit down, and along with Fire Chief Andy Casper and everybody else involved, and try to figure out what can be done. I'm sure she'll have something to say about the situation yesterday in the financial district.
Okay, Bob, thank you very much for your comments this morning, and congratulations on a job well done yesterday. You certainly did yeoman service out there during the what could have been a real catastrophe. 56 degrees in downtown San Francisco. And now, let's talk about traffic again. I know that's going to be of concern to a lot of people, especially those that work in the financial district. Here's Chris.
Well, in the financial district itself, you'll still find Battery closed between Clay and California. You'll still find Sacramento closed between Front and Sansom. Now, because of the closure of Sacramento Street, the Muni's 55 line only goes as far as Sacramento and Kearney, and then it turns around and goes back the other way. The Muni's 41 line is back in service after some delays yesterday because of road closures. The California cable car seems to be running again this morning. You'll find Golden Gate Transit detouring along Jackson to Drum to California. So you will find California Street open. Clay Street itself is open. Front, Davis, and Drum, all of them are open. It's Sacramento and Battery that remain closed. And it is a good idea to take the bus into this part of San Francisco today or to take BART and walk in from Market Street because it's very difficult to drive on these streets. You're going to find a lot of people just in the area out of curiosity, and you know that's going to cause a lot of congestion. And besides that, the parking lots are full of cars that were left there yesterday. In Santa Clara, we're having trouble with traffic signals this morning. All along Highway 237, the traffic signals are not working.
Stay with Chris, and she'll keep you right up to the minute on the latest traffic situation here in San Francisco. And of course, there's a lot of you who will have things that you need to know. Maybe how to get your car out, or what streets are open, etc., etc. KCBS News Time is now 9 minutes before 7 o'clock. We go to the Pacific Stock Exchange for a word or two on business, sponsored by Great Western Savings. Here's Ray Hutchinson. And Hutch, Charlie Serafin asked us a question that was unrelated to the market news, certainly, but I understand you have some information on what people do about their cars who were left out and covered with that oily film.
Well, a lot of people are still frustrated, I think, and can't even get to their cars. For example, I had taken this lovely lady to lunch yesterday at the Golden Eagle, Al, and they came to us finally as we were concluding lunch and said, "You'll have to leave now." And I thought, my word, have we been that out of line? I didn't think so, but we got up to leave, and my friend had parked her little car on Front Street, very close to Clay. It has been there ever since. She tried to get the car then, couldn't get close to it. She tried again at about midnight last night. the police would not even let her get close to the car. It is still there, and because of the fear of fallout from that from those PCBs, the car has to be steam cleaned before they even allow her to grab hold of the wheel and drive it away. So it's a problem that I think in each and every case might be unique. You'll simply have to check on your own situation, depending on where your car is exactly and what has happened with it since 1:30 yesterday afternoon.
All right, thank you, Hutch. Let's check on the market.
Well, the interest rates moved lower late yesterday, Al, and that helped the market, definitely. We had a real turnaround as those closely watched federal funds, those are reserves that banks lend each other, they fell to 15.5% at one point from the Monday average of 17.92%. The market responded very favorably. The Federal Reserve Board, if you missed that news, yesterday afternoon approved Crocker Bank's $820 million alliance with Midland Bank of London. U.S. stocks mixed in Europe this morning, and the dollar has eased somewhat in Europe. Gold is up. It's up $3.25 from yesterday afternoon to $4.13 an ounce, and bullion dealers have set their silver price at $8.79.8. That is up from $8.70.4 yesterday. Ray Hutchinson from the Pacific Stock Exchange.
Great Western Savings introduces tax-free savings. Starting October 1st, Great Western will pay you tax-free interest on the money you deposit in a special, fully insured, tax-free savings account. Only this special Great Western tax-free account lets you exempt a full year of savings interest from your federal income tax. Up to $2,000 tax-free interest on a joint return. Up to $1,000 on an individual return. This is a one-year account, and early withdrawal penalties will apply. To earn tax-free interest on your fully insured funds, reserve your special account today. And Great Western will pay you a bonus of 18% interest on your money between now and October.
And this 18% bonus plan is backed by U.S. government securities. It is not a savings account, is not insured by the FSLIC. Reserve your tax-free account today at any Great Western savings office. 5 minutes before 7 o'clock.
To Harrah's Hotel in Reno, we added steel and concrete, style and space, 240 new rooms. We added parlors, suites, and luxury. The kind of quality that has earned Harrah's the highest ratings ever awarded a Reno hotel. For you, the completion of Harrah's expansion program in Reno means more accommodations, more parking in Harrah's 800-car garage, more space in Harrah's beautiful new casino complex with its luxurious Skyway restaurant and lounge, and more showroom in Harrah's spectacular casino cabaret. For you, Harrah's new hotel facility means more of what you come to Reno for. Harrah's Reno today. More luxury, more excitement, more Harrah's.
Well, there's a lot of excitement yesterday in San Francisco in the financial district, and it continues this morning. Jerry Wilcox is out there on the streets now checking on whether or not they're open or safe or what, and Jerry's on the news line right now. Jerry, what's the situation?
Well, Dr. Mervyn Silverman, the city health director, is on the scene now still making an inspection and consulting with PG&E officials about the cleanup that's going underway here. He walked all around the area, and one of the things he saw that he did not like was sand and water, or the absorbent material that was used to clean up the PCB, an accumulation of that under some of the parked cars here on Battery Street, and he does not like that, and he wants it all cleaned up before he opens up Battery Street, before Battery can be reopened. So they're in the process of using their steam cleaners once again to blast that material out from under the parked cars here, and then to try to dry it up and get the absorbent material out of there. And his estimate is that maybe in about an hour, Battery and perhaps Sacramento could be reopened. So that's the situation here.
Oh, all right. So we're still waiting for Dr. Silverman's okay. Oh, my car is on Battery Street.
Yes, your car is right on Battery, isn't it?
Okay.
Nice going, Al.
We have 3 minutes before 7 o'clock. Now, let's get a little weather information. Bob Hallman is on the weather line, and will we have a nice day today, Bob?
It's going to be a gorgeous one, Al. Temperatures mild downtown San Francisco,
throughout the Bay Area. It was kind of a cool morning. It started out at 48 degrees at Santa Rosa this morning, as low as 51 at San Francisco Airport. But temperatures will warm during the day. 76 for Oakland, 81 Redwood City, San Jose 84 degrees, Vallejo 85, Fremont 82, Santa Rosa 93, Concord 86. Beach weather looks great. Monterey 70 degrees or a little warmer than that. Santa Cruz very warm. Sierra Nevada bordering on hot, 87 degrees, the forecast high. At Lake Tahoe, the overnight low, 42. Back into the 90s in the Sacramento and San Joaquin Valley. Stockton today, about 94 degrees. It'll be about 91 or 2 at Sacramento. Back to summer weather at last.
All right, 56 right now, downtown in San Francisco.
You're invited to enter a whole new world of visual experience. Come to the grand opening of Vidium Home Entertainment Stores, where you'll see more video cassette recorders than anywhere else in the Bay Area. Video games that not only play with you, they can beat you. Plus home computers, big screen TVs, mini TVs, an entire wall of videotape box office hits, and much, much more.
Vidium low prices include a Sanyo video cassette recorder for just $599 plus a $160 bonus package. Save $300 on Sony's 50-inch big screen TV. Vidium stores at Concord Sun Valley Mall, Richmond's Hilltop Mall, and San Jose's Eastridge Mall. 1 minute before 7.
It's happening now at Musi Buick. You don't have to wait until December for closeout prices on new Buicks, because Musi Buick is having their closeout sale right now. Hi, I'm Bill Musi, owner of Musi Buick in Palo Alto, Menlo Park. And if you've been shocked at the prices on new automobiles, come in and see us for a pleasant surprise. During our closeout sale, you can buy new 81 Buicks at lower prices than we've ever advertised before. Listen to these prices. 81 Skylarks from $58.88. 81 Regals from $68.88. 81 Regal Diesels from $78.88. These diesels have automatic transmission, power steering, power brakes, air conditioning, and much more. Combine these prices with GMAC's low 13.8 annual interest rate with approved credit, and you'll have a great new mileage-making Buick at a price you can afford to pay. This closeout sale and the low 13.8 interest rate ends August 31st, so hurry. See me, Bill Musi, and I'll make you a Buick believer.
Musi Buick just past the Stanford Shopping Center in Palo Alto Menlo Park on El Camino Real. This is KCBS San Francisco, and the World News Roundup is next, sponsored in part by Crocker Bank, the bank with the Crocker automated tellers. Open right now to serve you. 7 a.m. Good morning.
Voyager 2 develops a problem after flying past Saturn. Sadat and Begin agree to resume talks on Palestinian autonomy. Reagan's military and budget advisors meeting in California. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The flyby of Saturn appeared to be perfect, but a few hours after last night's event, a malfunction developed aboard outward-bound Voyager 2. David Dow reports from Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena.
After a flawless mission and just after a successful flyby of Saturn, the Voyager 2 spacecraft has developed a problem. The announcement came early this morning from Esker Davis, Voyager project manager.
We do have a problem on board the Voyager 2 spacecraft. As most of you know, about 12 midnight, Pacific Daylight Time, the spacecraft came out from behind the planet. We recovered the signal as we expected, essentially on time, and we had no evidence of problems. However, we had no data. This was signal only, carrier only, and it was some 33 minutes later that the spacecraft data began to arrive here on the ground.
The scan platform is the apparatus that points several of Voyager's data-gathering instruments, including its cameras. Project officials don't know why it isn't working properly, and they won't be able to troubleshoot the problem until they play back the data recorded aboard Voyager during its Saturn flyby. That will take several hours. In the meantime, images continue coming back, the billion miles from Voyager, but they are blurry, washed-out patches of space. The scan platform of Voyager 1, this craft's sister ship, also had a problem early in its mission to Jupiter. But it was quickly corrected when iron filings were found to be clogging its rotating track. David Dow, CBS News, at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena.
Earlier, as they examined the data from Voyager 2, Chief Scientist Edward Stone said, the closer we look, the more puzzling things are.
If airline cutbacks have changed your travel plans this summer, now is the time for you to discover the comfort, the convenience, and the economy of Greyhound. Greyhound offers fast, trouble-free service to more places more often than anyone else. Best of all, Greyhound has frequent departures from San Francisco to Los Angeles, Sacramento, and Reno. You'll be surprised how fast Greyhound can get you there with a full schedule of daily departures to all these destinations and more. There's no delay, no need for reservations. You just sit back and relax. And to help make your summer travel even more worry-free, they're ready with equipment, drivers, and staff. Now more than ever, Greyhound can save you time, save you money, save you trouble. So if the airline cutbacks have affected your travel plans, don't hassle with driving. Go Greyhound. Call Greyhound today for complete schedules, and don't forget to ask about their many special discounts and excursion fares. Next trip, leave your car at home and leave your troubles behind. Go Greyhound. Leave the driving to them. KCBS News Time, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock, 56 degrees in the city.
Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat this morning agreed to resume negotiations on Palestinian autonomy. They made the announcement at a joint news conference in Alexandria. First Begin, then Sadat.
This is the simple agreement between us. That suggestion was made. It was agreed upon. And I suppose it's a very positive development.
Whenever we reach agreement between Egypt, Israel, and the United States upon the full autonomy, we shall be, Premier Begin and me, we shall be asking officially King Hussein to join with us after we sign the agreement.
The talks that Begin and Sadat referred to aimed at formulating a plan on autonomy for Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip areas are scheduled to resume September 23rd, after Begin's meeting in Washington with President Reagan. CBS News correspondent Mitchell Krause in Alexandria has more on the autonomy talks.
The talks will begin with a review of past efforts and move on to the drafting of a set of principles. A key problem is that Begin has said autonomy applies to the inhabitants of the West Bank, not to the territory. Therefore, Begin views autonomy as a way to block an independent Palestinian state, while Sadat defines it as leading eventually to that end. Also at stake are questions as to what happens to the water supplies. Most of the Israeli water supply comes from the West Bank. And what happens to communications and territorial integrity for land that was owned by Jordan before Israel took over the West Bank. All this adds up to a long series of negotiations and perhaps several more summits before the issue is settled, if it ever is. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, Alexandria.
Last week, President Reagan sent his chief military and budget advisors back to the drawing board to reconcile his twin goals of rebuilding the nation's defenses and balancing the budget in 1984. Today in Santa Barbara, as we hear from Neil Strausser, those advisors begin the reconciling process.
Higher interest rates and other economic factors are driving up administration estimates of the cuts necessary to balance the budget by 1984. And that increases the pressure on Defense Secretary Weinberger today, as he and Budget Director Stockman meet with Counselor Edwin Meese on the defense budget for 1983 and 84. Budget officials say the administration must find as much as $40 billion, instead of the originally estimated $30 billion in cuts in 1983, and at least that much more in 84 to balance the budget. Taking all that from non-defense spending, they say, would be exceptionally difficult. So Stockman will argue for a slowdown in the rate of planned increases in defense spending. The administration has been committed to a 7% a year real increase in defense spending, but Stockman will suggest the increase could be based on this year's lower budget rather than next year's, keeping the commitment but reducing the overall increase. Officials here are now also saying the 7% figure was only a cap. The increase could be lower. Spokesman Larry Speaks denies a policy change, but another official says it is a way of preparing the semantic ground for a somewhat lower track of defense spending. Neil Strausser, CBS News, with the presidential party in Santa Barbara.
Directors of the Screen Actors Guild in New York last night rebuffed efforts to revoke the president's honorary union card because of his dismissal of striking air traffic controllers. The vote was 21-1. The same action was taken earlier by the union's Hollywood board.
I was shopping in my favorite department store the other day when the elevator I was in stopped.
between notions and lingerie. Naturally, everyone expressed concern, and I could understand why. After all, it was nearly 3 o'clock. Sensing their panic, I thought a few reassuring words would be appropriate. So I told them not to worry, because Crocker Bank would be open until later. I added Crocker opens early, too. This seemed to work, because they turned their attention to me. Should the worst come, I said, Crocker automated tellers were on the job daily till 1 a.m., and I couldn't imagine anyone having business with a bank after 1 o'clock in the morning that couldn't wait until 6 a.m. when Crocker automated tellers opened again. Well, this certainly had its effect, because everyone was quiet now. At which point, the elevator moved and the doors opened, allowing my fellow shoppers quickly to evacuate the car. I called after them not to hurry. There was probably a Crocker Bank open right around the corner.
Crocker Bank, doing more for your business. Member FDIC.
8 minutes past seven.
The medfly infestation appears to be spreading again in California. Jerry Bowen reports from Los Angeles.
The war of the flies may have come to Southern California, some 400 miles from the 6 northern counties where the fruit pest has been discovered and is the subject of intense eradication programs. 5 of the fruit flies were found in the backyard of a private residence in Baldwin Park in the Los Angeles metropolitan area. Lab technicians should determine today if the flies are fertile or part of the millions of sterile flies released in the effort to battle the fruit-destroying insect. California's Governor Jerry Brown, for whom the fly is fast becoming a political albatross, promised quick action if necessary.
We have a very quick system, and this is something that people ought to understand. You don't spray until you see some reason to spray. And when we see a fly through our fly traps and our other detection methods, then we respond in 24 hours, and we've been doing that for several weeks.
The finding of the fruit flies in Los Angeles came as the Japanese, a major importer of California fruit, held firm to the demand that all fruit from the state be fumigated or refrigerated before it is shipped for export, a move that will certainly cost growers millions of dollars. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Los Angeles.
This is Bob Anderson in Tokyo. For a week, Japan has refused to accept any California fruit, insisting it be fumigated. After 5 days of bargaining, America gave in. Now all California fruit will have to be specially treated before leaving for Japan. American negotiators maintained that fruit outside the medfly areas was safe, but the embargo was costing farmers and shippers almost $1 million a day. Japan is America's biggest citrus importer, and the chief U.S. negotiator here, John Ford, says next month the U.S. will again urge Japan to reconsider.
We are not going to let this issue rest. We're going to continue to press Japan on it because we feel it is very important as a precedent for our entire export program worldwide.
The head of Sunkist in Tokyo says fumigating will be expensive and will take weeks to set up. Bob Anderson, CBS News, Tokyo.
We're doing it all right, because all right's the only way we know. We're doing it all right, AMC Jeep Redone. Dealers have all the right cars at the right price, with right on service too. We're doing it all right, all right, all right for you.
Your California AMC Jeep Renault dealers are doing it all right with their big summer clearance on Jeep CJs and new Scramblers. For a limited time, a factory incentive program lets dealers buy for less and sell for less. See the Jeep Scrambler with four-wheel drive and five-foot cargo box, and the tough four-wheel drive CJ, the head of its class in economy. Your California AMC Jeep Renault dealers' prices are all right. Buy today.
We're doing it all right, for you.
See your California AMC Jeep Renault dealer today.
KCBS San Francisco.
Good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart. Ken Ackerman's here, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Richard Wade of CalOSHA in just a moment, and Dr. Mervyn Silverman, of the director of City Health, after that. And we'll be covering the whole story of what is happening out there. By the way, everybody, come back to work. Yep, the emergency is over. They've cleaned up the streets. Everything is all right. Come back to your office and pick up those things you left on your desk yesterday. Now, to pick up on traffic, here's Chris Bretcher.
We still have the traffic signals out of order all along Highway 237, along Great America Parkway at Lafayette at 1st Street. No traffic signals on 237 this morning. In San Francisco, Sacramento Street still closed between Front and Sansom. That means the Muni's number 55 Sacramento line is turning around at Sacramento and Kearney. The rest of the Muni is running right on time. time, including the California Street cable car. Golden Gate Transit detouring a little because of this road closure in the city, but not detouring very much.
All right, thank you, Chris. It is now 56 degrees in the city at 12 minutes past 7. Here's Ken Ackerman.
Al Cruz have been out all night here in San Francisco in our financial district near the Embarcadero Center, cleaning up yesterday afternoon's gas rupture. Thousands of people had to be evacuated shortly after a construction crew accidentally drilled into a gas line filled with natural gas and a carcinogen PCB. San Francisco's public health director, Dr. Mervyn Silverman, says there were a couple of things he's worried about.
Well, you have two problems. One was the gas itself, and people who were exposed may have been a little dizzy, have headaches, maybe a little nauseated, and what they should have done, and I think everyone did, is get out to where there's good ventilation, especially outside. The second problem, and the more serious problem, especially since there was no explosion, the more serious problem is the PCB. That was also in those pipes, the pipe that burst.
And Dr. Silverman has been right on top of that this morning. Tests done early this morning indicate that the PCB level in the residue still left on the streets is below the danger level.
He's down there right now walking around checking to make sure that things are safe, and he'll be in our studios momentarily. On the news line right now, Dr. Richard Wade of Cal OSHA, who has also had a very busy afternoon yesterday and this evening and early this morning. And good morning to you, Dr. Wade. What's the situation right now?
Well, the situation is the City Health Department is reviewing Dr. Silverman, looking at the situation to make a determination whether the city is going to allow the area to be reopened so that people can get back to work. It's my understanding that most of the cleanup has gone on as scheduled. Crews were there through the night. The levels were low for PCBs to begin with, and the cleanup should be effective to reduce the exposure of people to PCBs.
Now, there were all kinds of people who were sort of standing around watching during yesterday's events when the gas was blowing out and that oily residue was falling on their clothing and on their bodies and on cars in the area. First of all, what should they do about their clothing and shoes and things of that nature?
Well, again, the levels of PCBs, although we clearly did find PCBs in the oil, were relatively low. We are recommending that people who had noticeable soiling of their clothes or got stains or the mist from the oil wetted the surface of the clothes, that they put those clothes in bags. PG&E, is my understanding today, will be making an announcement of where people can bring those clothes. Likewise, people who walk through the area where the oil was contaminating the lobby to Embarcadero Center as well as the streets should put the shoes in bags, and again, PG&E will be receiving these materials.
Now, this is something we should be very certain to do. It's not something you can put a new coat of shoe polish on there and get rid of it.
No, one of the real problems with PCBs and the oils is that they will be absorbed into the clothing or into the shoes, and it's really impossible to remove them. People should not wash their clothes if there's visible signs of contamination, because all it'll do is rub off and contaminate all the other clothes. And one of the problems with PCBs is that although we don't expect any immediate effect, once PCBs get into the body, you never get rid of them. There's no way that the body has of eliminating them, so you carry them around for life. So that's why we're asking people to be cautious, to remove areas of clothing from them and shoes that might have become contaminated.
All right, now there's another item, too. So many cars were doused with that oily substance yesterday. What's to happen to them?
They have been decontaminated through the night. They've been steam cleaned to remove the oily substance from them. There shouldn't be any problem with the cars that were in the area once they've been decontaminated.
All right, and about cars that were in garages, are they safe or have they also been cleaned?
The garages underneath the Embarcadero, the residues were not really significant in that area, but certainly cars on the street within the cordoned off area did have to be decontaminated, as did a number of the ambulances who took people to the hospital who were injured early on in the incident.
Dr. Wade, thank you very much for joining us again this morning. Dr. Richard Wade of Cal OSHA, who has been on the scene yesterday and during the night and early this morning, checking on health measures here in San Francisco in the Financial District. Now, let's go to Jerry Wilcox, who is out on the streets of San Francisco in the Financial District. And what's the latest, Jerry?
The latest, Al, is that Dr. Mervyn Silverman, the city health director, has been taking a tour, as we indicated before, of this area, checking on the debris that's left in the streets, the liquid debris and the sand and so forth. He said he wanted all that cleaned up before he reopened Battery Street or Sacramento Street. Those streets are still cordoned off. And the latest development is that as he was walking around making his inspection, He was swinging by Harrington's on Front Street, and Mrs. Leo Harrington came out and complained rather vociferously that she had tried to get PG&E work crews all during the night to clean up some oily material, presumably containing PCB, off the sidewalk, apparently on both sides of the street on Front Street. And she said the cleaning crews ignored her and the stuff was never touched. It's kind of black, somewhat oily-looking material. It is on the sidewalks. She collared Dr. Silverman. He took a look and said, okay, we're going to close down Front Street and clean this up. So now Front Street between Sacramento and California has been closed down as well, and it could take another hour or so at least to reopen that.
Now, Jerry, so some of these streets in the immediate vicinity are still closed, but the area is open for people to return to their jobs today, and I think that's the thing that's concerning a lot of people. They can come back and get into the buildings, and that part is okay. It's just that some of those streets are closed, like the Front Street area you mentioned, right?
That's affirmative, Al. Dr. Silverman says people can come back into the area, they can go to their jobs, but he does not want them to go inside the cordoned-off area. There is still this sandy, absorbent material on the streets, and if you walk in that, then you might as well say goodbye to the pair of shoes that you're wearing. He says you should get rid of that pair of shoes. So people are, in fact, walking around this area now, but they are keeping them out of the cordoned-off areas here. So you can still get to your office, but do not walk inside that cordoned-off area.
All right. Thank you very much. Jerry Wilcox, who throughout the morning has been checking on the streets in the immediate vicinity of that break in the gas pipe yesterday. Whew, boy, what a mess. What a mess. And they're still cleaning it up, and despite the fact they've been working all through the late afternoon yesterday and all through the night and morning hours today. But come on back. It's okay to come to work. Just avoid those streets that the police have cordoned off. That's the only thing we have to warn you about.
I see you're wearing your $87 shoes. Nice going.
These shoes are gone as soon as I get out of here, I guess so. Well, that's too bad. I just hope they don't take my car and destroy it, which was on Battery Street. I'd hate to come out and find an empty spot where my car used to be, but the crews have been cleaning those cars that were contaminated with that oily residue. They've been steam cleaning them, and they should be perfectly all right. 56 degrees in the city. Back to Ken.
And Al, there are other environmental problems we can talk about. An industrial area in Santa Rosa's downtown that was evacuated briefly yesterday when a Mobil Oil Corporation gas tanker exploded and then started a fire. Santa Rosa Fire Department officials say it is not known what caused that blast. The blaze threatened two nearby gasoline storage tanks. And insurance adjusters still have no dollar estimate on the damage in an industrial fire in an area of South San Francisco from a silicon tetrachloride spill. This was on Friday. John Chalaran, who is regional claims manager for Wasso Insurance Company, said his firm has received surprisingly few claims so far. The ones causing the most concern, he said, are automobiles that were parked close to the chemical leak. Some of these are unable to be used because the windows are etched with acid.
Oh, boy. KCBS News Time, 20 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Marcy, I thought your seminar on tax-free bonds was magnificent. Now I at least know what questions to ask my broker.
I'm glad it helped. And thanks for asking those questions. You helped make the seminar work.
Listen, I have another question, something maybe you could help with.
What's that?
Well, I just moved here, and I'm looking for health insurance. Do you know a good company?
Are you sure you want insurance?
What do you mean?
Well, just like investing, there are different ways to do things. For myself, I don't have insurance. I have Blue Shield of California.
Well, what's the difference?
Plenty. Blue Shield is a statewide health care service plan. They don't just pay the bills, they help control costs.
Hmm.
Here's an example. They have over 24,000 physician members who agree to accept Blue Shield's payment as payment in full for all their covered services. That means lower cost to you. It's like having an option to buy stock at a lower than market price.
Well, that sounds good, but what about a serious or catastrophic illness or injury?
Blue Shield plans offer up to $1 million in lifetime benefits.
Oh, that is impressive. I think I'll call Blue,
Remember, it's Blue Shield. Blue Shield makes the difference.
KCBS News Time, 7:21, and we'll get to business news in 1 minute.
You've been looking for a small personal computer for your business, but with each passing day, you become more and more confused. Nikom, the high-technology electronics store, ends your confusion with the introduction of the newest innovation in personal computers. It's the Osborne 1, establishing the new price-performance ratio in the industry. The new Osborne 1 from Nikom is portable, weighs in at only 27 pounds, can be plugged in anywhere, and includes a built-in monitor, 64K memory, two floppy drives, and a full business keyboard. 5 standard software packages are included, with such things as word processing, mailing, and SuperCalc electronic spreadsheet. The price, an unbelievable $1,795. Just $1,795 for tomorrow's products today. See for yourself the most dramatic new computer on the market at Nycom. Whatever your business, our business can help you grow. Call or visit us at 4500 El Camino Real, Los Altos, just north of San Antonio Road. Nycom.
722, the market's open for business, and at the Pacific Stock Exchange with a report, here's Hutch.
And Al, you should not fret. We're going to have all those shoes, all of them bronze.
Thank you.
And put on a special memorial mantelpiece for you.
Oh, boy. Thank you.
U.S. One important number out of Washington, U.S. business productivity showed a revised rise of 0.7%. That's a rise in the second quarter. Earlier, we had a report that the productivity had fallen by 0.9%, so that's a good number to work with. Gold in London, we have that afternoon price now, $4.14 an ounce. So gold is up $4.25 on the day. The Dow on the rise, up 2 points this morning at 903.82. Gainers lead losers about 5-3, and the volume 4,500,000 shares. Ray Hutchinson from the Pacific Stock Exchange.
He was the most beautiful general who ever lived. A tall, blue-eyed man with long golden hair named George Armstrong Custer. And on a hot June day in 1876, he led his 7th Cavalry along a dry Montana ridge. His scouts reported many teepees, many horses below, and he laughed. He galloped down into the valley of the Little Big Horn. He paused to take one last drink from a dusty canteen, and then Custer spoke.
It's good, but it's not Perrier.
For the last time, the gallant general was right. There is but one Perrier. It's only natural, cold, crackling, deeply thirst-quenching Perrier. The most refreshing drink under the sun, Perrier. It's only natural.
7:24. We're going to hear a report from Wilson Van Alst, who was on the scene all day yesterday during the events in the financial district when that gas line blew. That'll be coming up in just 1 minute from right now. If you own a home that needs the protection of a top-quality paint job, there's only one name you should know, and that's Elgato. That's right, the one and only Elgato painting. They have painted thousands of homes, and their reputation just keeps on building. Why the fantastic growth of Elgato? Top quality from real pros. Premium Kelly Moore paint. And price? Well, imagine. Elgato will paint a one-story home from as low as $550, a two-story home from $875. And this includes Elgato's 21-step pre-paint preparation method, so obviously larger homes will cost more, but the value is the same. So if your home or commercial building needs an exterior paint job, your best bet is to call the pros at Elgato. Remember, premium Kelly Moore paint, experienced bonded craftsmen, and 21-step pre-paint preparation method to assure you the finest paint job. Phone for a free estimate. Home or commercial buildings, the one and only Elgato in San Jose and Peninsula area phone books in Contra Costa County. Phone information. Yeah, this is KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart. Here's Ken Ackerman.
You pay taxes there. You should pronounce it.
I know. I should be able to say the words.
Okay, well, I can't think of anybody who can best tell the gas disaster story better than Wilson Van Alst, who is on duty not only in our studios here at KCBS, but, Van, you were out with the Guernseys at the transmitter site, I understand, too, for a while.
That happened for a while yesterday, too, Ken. We try to answer all those journalistic questions about this, the what and the where and the when and the why, and I think by now most of the people in San Francisco know what and where. We had a major gas leak at the intersection of Sacramento and Battery Streets yesterday that forced the evacuation of tens of thousands of people from the local office buildings. As to when it happened, well, at 1:06 yesterday afternoon, Lila Peterson was just opening her program, the KCBS Magazine.
I'm Lila Peterson, the KCBS News Magazine, my guest, Senator S.I. Hayakawa. If you can hear that noise behind me, it sounds like a huge blowtorch. There's some construction going on outside, and that's what that is. Every now and then we hear strange sounds on the news magazine. It's courtesy of the construction people across the way.
And there was no way at that point that Lila could tell what was happening, but we started to get word that evacuation of the building was going to take place, that there was possibly a broken gas main down below us. Lila Peterson tried to keep her show on the air, and then finally the word came that everybody should be evacuated.
We have to stop programming for a few minutes here at KCBS San Francisco. We'll be back on the air shortly. We are evacuating the building.
We are hearing right now, Lila, that there is perhaps a broken gas main at the intersection of Sacramento and Battery Streets. We are hearing a very loud noise outside our studio windows right now, and building intercom personnel or building security personnel are on the intercom telling people to evacuate One Embarcadero Center at this point. They are telling people, if they happen to be listening to the radio now, that they should go to the north side of the building. The south side of the building apparently is very much in danger at this hour because of what we believe to be a broken gas main, a gas main that is sending
tons
of that gas.
That's that tremendous noise that we hear outside. It sounds like a jet engine. Okay, we are going to depart right away. The senator has already left. Wilson Van Alst, do you have anything more to say, Van?
That's all we know so far. Fire department personnel are responding. They are saying to everyone to get out of the area of play and battery, to leave that area alone for at least 3 or 4 blocks in every direction. And again, the intersection properly should have been Sacramento and Battery Streets. That evacuation was completed. All of this ended with no major catastrophe as far as we know so far. But what we don't know in all of this are a couple of very important whys. First of all, why was that pneumatic drill operating in the area of the gas main in the first place? In every construction site I know of, every precaution is taken to try and keep exactly this kind of accident from happening. We're going to have to figure out what went wrong in this one. The second important question that we still have to find an answer for, and that is, why were those PCBs or the oil containing the PCBs, why was that in the gas lines in the first place? How did this chemical contamination add to what was a potential catastrophe in terms of the gas leak itself yesterday in San Francisco?
And those are the questions Van is going to be pursuing throughout the morning, throughout the day here on KCBS News Radio. Thank you so much, Van, and again, congratulations yesterday on a job really well done. All right, now, Jerry Wilcox has been on the streets of San Francisco in the immediate area where the disaster occurred yesterday. He has Dr. Mervyn Silverman, our city's director of health, with him. And, Jerry, what does the doctor have to say?
Dr. Silverman has just closed off Front Street. That's the latest development. Dr., why?
Because the sidewalks, for some reason, they missed the sidewalks on both sides of Front Street down to the alley. And so that area has not been cleaned even originally. All the other areas have probably been cleaned at least twice. So we're blocking this off so no one carries this PCB on their shoes and carries it around with them.
And you're finding that you have to stand here and act as a policeman yourself to keep people off the sidewalk. Why is that?
Well, unfortunately, I think this is about the time when the policemen change shifts. So they're just sort of changing the guard, and they've got to bring the cordon tape that they use. And since they're not here with it, I'm standing here keeping people from walking down the street.
So what's your time estimate on when we're going to reopen all these cordoned off areas?
Well, I had said about an hour, but I think it's probably going to be closer to 2 hours. It's a matter of getting not only the equipment in, the equipment that cleans it, but the equipment that takes the material that's been cleaned up and moves it away. We can't let it go into our water system here.
How do you feel about being the man who closed down Harrington's?
Well, it's still early. And I'm hopeful that people will still be able to get the liquid refreshment at the normal time. And of course, if the normal time is now, then they have a problem.
This is Jerry Wilcox at Front in Sacramento in downtown San Francisco.
Thank you much, Jerry. The man who closed down Harrington's. Dr. Mervyn Silverman. All right, well, as you heard, he has taken the precaution of closing Front Street there between California and Sacramento. And because there is some contaminated material there on that sidewalk and street that was not cleaned up, they inadvertently missed that. And so Dr. Silverman says, nobody walks here.
Offices are open,
but don't walk down that street. You're going to be in trouble. But the area offices here in the Embarcadero Center, for instance, and all around us, they are open. Just don't move on the cordoned off areas. There are a couple of those still left in this area where the disaster occurred yesterday. KCBS News Time, 7:30. Little weather information now from Bob Hallman. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Al. We'll make it short and sweet. Fair and mild through Thursday. Highs from the upper 60s near the coast to the 70s and 80s inland. That includes a 70 for downtown San Francisco. Warmest Bay Area temperatures in the mid-80s. Sierra remains fair. Very warm, 87 for a high. Now with a look at Bay Area traffic, here's Chris Brecher.
We have no stalls or accidents reported through the South Bay, but there are traffic signals out of order all along Highway 237 through Santa Clara and into Mountain View. You'll find no stalls or accidents in the East Bay, just some heavy traffic to the Caldecott and about an 8 to 10 minute delay at the Bay Ridge Toll Plaza.
KCBS News Time, 7:31.
What better way to enjoy the rest of summer than with a new front-wheel drive Dodge and cash in your pocket? So Dodge and participating Dodge dealers are contributing to give you a cash rebate. cash to help you fight high interest rates. Come to Dodge. Get from $300 to $700 cash depending on the new 81 Dodge car or truck you buy. Cash now, when you need it most. Buy or lease a new 81 front-wheel drive Dodge Aries K. Make your best deal and get $500 cash on top of it. Buy an 81 Dodge Omni or Mitsubishi Import and get $300 cash. Buy a Dodge 024 or a sporty new Charger 2.2 and get $300 cash. Buy any Dodge Ram Charger or full-size pickup truck and get up to $700 cash. A check direct from Dodge. Money you can apply to your down payment or use any other way you want. This offer excludes Misers and Vans, and you must take delivery by August 31st. See a participating Dodge dealer for complete details. Helping you fight high interest rates with cash is another reason why Dodge is the fastest growing American car line.
The News Magazine is going to be devoted entirely to that big gas leak and the PCB spill. Lila Peterson will have Fire Chief Andy Casper, Phil Day from the Office of Emergency Services, and a representative from PG&E. That'll be today at 1 o'clock on the News Magazine with Lila Peterson. That's the show I know you won't want to miss.
You're the one who knows what's going on. You're the one your friends depend upon. We're the ones who keep you up to date on everything around the Golden State. News and more on 74. KCBS, KCBS, San Francisco.
And good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart.
I'm Ken Ackerman.
And these are the headlines.
The fate of Amtrak to be discussed today.
Begin and Sadat have agreed to resume the Palestinian autonomy talks next month.
And UN Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick says India is leading more toward Moscow than Washington.
An equipment malfunction aboard Voyager 2 last night. Scientists aren't going to get as many pictures of Saturn as they thought. Now, we'll also hear from Ray Hutchinson.
Stocks after half an hour on the rise, trading is heavy.
Chris Brecher will be here with traffic, Bob Hallman with more weather, but right now, let's get to the news about Amtrak. The board of directors is meeting this morning to decide what changes, if any, in the system because of cuts by the Reagan administration. And Les Woodruff is in our Washington Bureau and has details on that story. Good morning, Les.
Good morning, Al. The dire prediction of drastic cuts in service apparently will not occur. The board is expected to announce later this morning that efficiency of operation, coupled with only about a 10% reduction in service, will leave most of the system intact. Scheduled to be cut, however, is the Pacific International that goes from Seattle to Vancouver, British Columbia. A couple of trains from the Midwest to the coast may also be consolidated and some rerouting take place, but it looks now, for the most part, that the Amtrak system on the West Coast will remain intact. One other note, Mayor Dianne Feinstein, who came to Washington yesterday for a series of meetings on urban economics and shipbuilding in the Bay Area, is on her way back to San Francisco. The U.S. Conference of Mayors indicating that Mayor Feinstein is expected to arrive at about 11 o'clock. And the reason for that, of course, is the gas leak. Gentlemen, that's it from Washington.
All right. Thank you, Les. And we'll hear from Les a little bit later on in the day. KCBS News Time is now 7:35. Back to Ken.
Israeli Prime Minister Begin is no doubt happy with his two-day summit with Egyptian President Sadat, in which the two leaders agreed to resume the stalled Palestinian autonomy talks. Begin today heaped the praise on Sadat, calling the Alexandria session, which ended today, a very fruitful discussion. The Voyager 2 spacecraft seemed at first to be okay after it flew behind Saturn early today during a period of radio silence. When Voyager came out on the other side of the ring planet, radio contact was reestablished. But the scientists at JPL in Pasadena were not able to receive any pictures of Saturn, just deep space. The camera pointed the wrong way. The project engineers say they don't know exactly what is wrong. It seems to be a problem with the movable platform on which the cameras are mounted. Otherwise, Voyager is A-OK right now, but a billion miles out there, Al.
Yeah, it's quite a feat. Even if they have a little glitch or two, it's incredible what the Voyager has done. Several of President Reagan's cabinet members meet today in Santa Barbara to talk about Pentagon spending. Details from Roger Gittins.
The meeting will be held at Cottage Number 8 under the eucalyptus trees beside the Biltmore Hotel's croquet court. In those genteel surroundings, Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger and Budget Director David Stockman will do some bureaucratic mud wrestling. The referee will be Presidential Counselor Ed Meese. The match has been arranged because Stockman and Weinberger apparently can't agree on how to control Pentagon spending. They met last week in Los Angeles, but Mr. Reagan sent them away with orders to keep trying to come up with a formula which will allow the military to upgrade its capabilities while reducing expenditures. While they're thrashing it out today, the president intends to stay above the battle, well above at his mountaintop ranch in the Santa Ynez Mountains. Roger Gittin, Santa Barbara.
At a news conference in Nepal today, United States Ambassador to the United Nations, Jean Kirkpatrick, said the relationship between India and the United States has deteriorated. Kirkpatrick said that in many areas, India has closer ties with Moscow than with Washington. And she wondered, aloud, why the government of India prefers to have closer relationships with that dictatorship than with a democracy.
KCBS News Time is now 23 minutes before 8 o'clock, and I think it's time we took a look at traffic, and for that, of course, we always go to Chris Brecher, and what's it like now, Chris?
Well, we just had a serious accident in the South Bay. It's northbound 17 just past Hamilton Avenue. There are some injuries involved. Northbound 17 just past Hamilton Avenue. There's a stalled camper northbound on the Golden Gate Bridge. It's being pushed off to the Marin County side. Southbound 101 traffic a little slow between Marin City and Spencer, says AAA, but then doing fairly well over the rest of the Waldo Grade. Westbound 24 traffic is stop and go for about a quarter of a mile past the Arinda Crossroads. Then it's 25 to the Caldecott Tunnel.
All right, thank you, Chris. Come on back to work. Everything is okay here. They're still cleaning up a couple of little pockets of contamination that they missed during the work last night. They had a tremendous crew here. They cleaned the streets and the sidewalks and got contamination off some of the buildings and the cars. And we'll have more about that as the morning continues here. And by the way, this afternoon, the news magazine with Lila is going to be devoted entirely to the big gas leak and the PCB spill. And Lila will have as her guest Fire Chief Andy Casper, Phil Day from the Office of Emergency Services, and a representative from PG&E. So be sure to be listening 1 o'clock today on the news magazine with Lila Peterson.
Hi, I'm Don Edgerton with Interceptor Alarms. And I'd like to ask all of you a question. What is the next item you're going to purchase for your home? Maybe a TV, a stereo, or possibly some new furniture? We all have certain things that are priorities for our homes. But does it really make sense to purchase these items before you buy an alarm system? I don't think so. Because if you let a burglar or vandal into your home, he could destroy your new items as well as everything else you own. And there's always the possibility of one of your loved ones having a confrontation with one of these parasites. Let's face it, the economy is slowing down a bit. Money is tight, and that creates more burglars. It also means it would be harder for you to replace the items you lose. Interceptor stops the burglar outside. We cover every square inch of your home, including all glass areas. And Interceptor is totally wireless, plus there are no monthly service charges. So why don't you make protection a priority? Call Interceptor right now. 408-727-9460. Interceptor, 408-727-9460. That's Interceptor, 408-727-9460.
And repeating, the area is safe down here in the Financial District around Embarcadero Center where the gas leak occurred yesterday. They've cleaned everything up just about. They have a couple of little pockets that they still are working on, and those are closed off. And they advise you not to walk in those areas. But everything else, the buildings were all open for business. Come on down and join us. 55 in the city of San Francisco.
In 1955, just about $2,000 would purchase a brand new car out the door. Today, well, $2,000 is what a cash rebate is all about. Hello, I'm Carl Ames, general manager of Peninsula Mazda in Redwood City. And what you have heard may be shocking news, perhaps. But my problem is a lot bigger than just $2,000. I've got too many new 81 Mazdas in stock. So what I've done is increased my cash rebates to unheard-of amounts for our final and total clean-out sale. All this cash is paid at the time of delivery. We will cash rebate $2,000 on RX-7 GSLs, $1,200 on 626 luxury models, and $700 cash back on station wagons or pickup trucks. But hurry while we got them, because this offer applies only to cars in stock. And by the way, while you're racing down here, don't forget your trade-in. We need them for our used car department. Yes, all this plus our easy payment plan. Just bring your good credit to Peninsula Mazda, El Camino at Whipple in Redwood City. Ask for me. I'll be there to meet you. Open 7 days, 9 to 9.
And KCBS News Time is now 20 minutes before 8 o'clock, and we'll take a brief look at sports to keep you up to date on what happened yesterday. The Giants beat St. Louis 4-2 in yesterday's ball game, and that was good news, but the A's didn't fare so well. They lost 2-0 to Cleveland. They not only lost the game, they lost first place. They're out of it by a half a game now. The White Sox are back in because Dennis Lamb pitched a one-hitter. He almost had a no-hitter in Milwaukee last night. But in the ninth inning, Robin Yount punched a 3-2 pitch into shallow left center field. That was a leadoff double in the ninth, and that was the only hit that they got. But Lamb settled for a one-hitter. He said that was all right with me and got a 5-1 win over the Brewers. In other American League games, Detroit edging Kansas City 4-3. That game went 10 innings. And by the way, that's the Tigers' 10th win in their last 11 games. They are really roaring. The Minnesota Twins shut out the Yankees 3-0. And Texas beat Toronto 6-1. In the National League, I have another game in the American League. Texas beat Toronto 6-1. And Baltimore at, Boston at California. The Angels beat the Red Sox 8-7. That game went 10 innings. In the National League, the Atlanta Braves got a grand slammer from Bruce Benedict, plus five RBIs from Chris Chambliss, and they really pounded the Phillies 12-2. Gary Carter had a Grand Slam homer and six RBIs as Montreal clubbed the Cincinnati Reds 9-1, and the New York Mets shaded Houston 2-1 on rookie Wilson's eighth inning homer, and also the Dodgers got by the Pirates 9-7 in 11 innings, the Cubs shading the Padres 4-3. What happened in tennis? The women's $100,000 tennis tournament in Mahwah, New Jersey, lost two of its top four seeds. Top seed Andrea Yeager had to withdraw because of a shoulder injury. And, of course, that may also hurt her as appearance in the U.S. Open next week. In addition, 17-year-old Pam Cassell of Fairfield, New Jersey, upset the fourth seed, Wendy Turnbull, 6-love, 6-2. That's sports. This is Al Hart.
Today, a lot of banks are giving excuses for not giving business loans.
What's happened to my accounts receivable loan? It's been 5 months.
Oh, that. Well, the loan committee is still out. But don't be discouraged. At last count, it was 20-10. In your favor.
Well, how about my inventory financing?
Oh, dear. You didn't answer one of the questions on your loan application. Now, what was your great-grandmother's confirmation name?
If you really want a loan, you ought to come to Lloyd's. Because instead of giving excuses, we're giving loans. What's more, Lloyd's is one of the few major banks in California with a loan committee of one. So once we have all the information, you'll get your answer fast.
Mr. Davis, about your accounts receivable and inventory financing?
Yes?
Yes.
At Lloyd's, we're in business to make business loans. Isn't that one of the reasons you have a business bank in the first place? Because at Lloyd's Bank, California, we know who we work for. Member FDIC.
It's 7:43 and business as usual here in the Financial District around the Embarcadero Center. Come on back to work. Everything is all right. They've cleaned up just about everything in the area. The PCB danger is over. Just a couple of minor little areas that they're working on right now. One of them is Front Street between California and Sacramento, right in front of Harrington's there, where somebody missed cleaning up a little spot, and they're working on that right now. But don't go in that particular street, if you will. All the other areas are open for business. Nothing wrong with the buildings. Come on in. Everything is okay.
Howdy, everybody. This is Bob Tallman, and I'd like to invite you to the newest, craziest, most incredible place this side of Gillies. It's called the Silver Dollar Casino Saloon at Harold's Club in Reno. Would you believe the largest cowboy hat in the world? Neon bucking broncos. And if that's not enough, you'll be served by electric cowboys and cowgirls. If you're looking for the time of your life, don't miss the Silver Dollar Casino Saloon. It's electric.
For good old-fashioned Western fun, it's Harold's Club in Reno.
Listen, and you know it all.
Good morning from KCBS News Radio. I'm Al Hart. Ken Ackerman's here. These are the headlines.
People are now being allowed back into the Financial District of San Francisco, and crews are still cleaning up the mess caused by that gas rupture.
And the San Francisco coroner says a suspect who died in police custody choked on his own vomit.
And the San Francisco coroner, the jury in the Larry Layton trial, has watched film made at Jonestown shortly before the mass suicide.
And also coming up, of course, we're going to have some traffic news, and that will be coming from Chris Brecher.
Most of our problems are in the South Bay, where the traffic signals are out of order all along Highway 237. There's an accident northbound 17 near Hamilton Avenue, and very heavy traffic now on the Dumbarton Bridge. The Muni's 55 line still is turning around at Sacramento and Kearney in the city to avoid the area that's still cordoned off because of the cleanup downtown. And I understand you're going to tell us all about that now, Al.
All right, thank you very much. That is the latest from Chris Brecher, who will continue to give those traffic reports that a lot of people are mightily interested in this morning. And now over to Ken Ackerman.
And updating the 24 hours of, some call it madness here in downtown San Francisco. Van, what's the latest?
We haven't quite reached 24 hours, but there are still residual problems from yesterday's gas leak that forced the evacuation of some estimated 30,000 people from the Financial District here at Sacramento and Battery Streets in the city. People are being allowed to return to their office buildings this morning, although there are still some problems in the streets. We will hear shortly about that from Jerry Wilcox, who is down there. We understand that yesterday's incident was considered serious enough to have Mayor Feinstein come back to town. She had been in Washington, D.C. to do the eternal lobbying that seems to be necessary for San Francisco to get the money it wants from the federal government. She, we understand, is flying back to the city this morning. The man acting in her stead has some real problems with what went on yesterday, as we hear in this report from Bob Melrose.
Supervisor Lee Dolson, acting as mayor since Dianne Feinstein is out of town, was at the scene and noticed some things wrong with communications and transportation. I asked him if recent earthquakes, high-rise fires, and six alarm fires are trying to tell the city something.
I don't know who's trying to tell us something, but disasters are almost always in the cards. The only question is when and where. No civilization has gone long without some kind of an emergency, without some kind of disaster. Despite the tremendous variance in human ingenuity, we never seem to be able to guard completely against it. And yet, there's no excuse for the lack of preparedness that we have here today.
Dolson says he is going to give a full report to the mayor and hopes more money will be given to the city's disaster office. Bob Melrose, San Francisco.
In the meantime, as far as we know, there are no lingering serious injuries from yesterday's incident. A fortunate occurrence indeed. Very fortunate when that amount of gas gets into the air and the concentrations that were present yesterday, and nothing ignites that very volatile substance. For more on what's happening this morning down on the streets and in the financial district that was affected yesterday, we go to this live report from Jerry Wilcox.
Good morning. We hoped, of course, that the streets would be open this morning at about 6:30. We're talking about Sacramento Street and Battery Street. But then Dr. Mervyn Silverman came to the scene for a personal on-site inspection. As a matter of fact, the police officers who were here had started to open up Battery Street at one point at about 6:30, and they heard that Silverman was coming and did not want them to open it until he looked it over. Well, he looked it over and found it lacking. There was debris. Sandy debris, the material they've used to soak up the oily PCB, still around some parked cars. He wanted that cleaned up before a battery was to be reopened. So they're working on that now. They're still working on Sacramento Street. And in the course of touring around the block, Dr. Silverman was stopped by Mrs. Leo Harrington of Harrington's Bar and Grill, who was quite upset, quite angry, because she had been here during the early morning hours in Harrington's fronts on Front Street near Sacramento, and she said that she had tried to get people to clean off the sidewalks in that area all night long, and that the crews had ignored her. Well, there is something on the sidewalks there, and it appears that it is the material that contains the PCB. It has not been cleaned off, so Dr. Silverman immediately ordered that the street be closed. Well, the street was closed, but the yellow ribbons that they're using to cordon it off were not available at the time. So Dr. Silverman found himself standing on the corner, acting as sort of a policeman, keeping people off the sidewalk. And as a matter of fact, I was even helping him do that at one point. People who walk through this sandy material are told to get rid of the shoes. And that means that the almost new pair of shoes that I'm wearing, I can say goodbye to. In any event, Front Street is now closed off between California and Clay, and Sacramento is still closed between Sansom and Sacramento would be closed between Sansom and Clay, or Front, that is, and Battery is still closed between Clay and California.
All right, thank you very much, Jerry. Sorry about your shoes, but that's one of the hazards of the job. I think there are a lot of people who are in that particular fix, and we'll have more about the clothing that you wore when you were out, perhaps just standing around, or you were a reporter on the scene. We're going to be talking to people what you can do with that clothing. I think the best thing is to put it in a plastic bag if it was damaged, if you can see some residual effect of that oily residue on your clothing, and particularly, as Jerry said, your shoes. Put those in a plastic bag, and we'll tell you what to do with them just a little bit later on. 55 right now in San Francisco. Back to Ken.
Are your shoes 9Cs?
I don't know whether they were not. They're $125 handmade special.
Let's head down to the South Bay now, Al. Japan apparently has backed away for the time being from its threat to stop importing all fruit and vegetables from California. And Bill Polish, what sort of a back away is this?
That's a temporary one, Kenny. Japan's been very worried that one day it's going to import a medfly along with a load of oranges or strawberries or lemons that they buy from this country. The Japanese toyed with the idea of putting a complete blanket ban on all of the Golden State's produce, but after a week of tough negotiating, that a ban apparently is not going to be imposed at all. U.S. and Japanese agricultural experts met and have decided now, apparently, that the federal government will provide certificates showing that vegetables and fruit grown outside the quarantine zones are free of the medfly infestation. In the meantime, medfly officials are still trying to find out whether five medflies, which were trapped in the Los Angeles suburb of Baldwin Park, are sterile or fertile. Now, those flies were rushed aboard a PSA jetliner to the Food and Agriculture Department's entomology lab in Sacramento last night. MedFly fighters have said if the fly turns out to be fertile, aerial spraying over Southern California could begin within the next 24 hours in an area about 350 miles away from the current six-county MedFly quarantine zone. Bill Polish reporting live from the South Bay Bureau.
And we thank you, Bill. On our other news line, we have Peter Weiner, who is a special assistant to Governor Brown. And good morning to you, Mr. Weiner.
Good morning, Al.
I understand there are a couple of bills in the legislature which may involve such disasters as yesterday's gas leak here in the city and may help us out.
That's correct. The gas leak in the city, which involved PCBs, as well as the silicon tetrachloride leak the other day in South San Francisco, are ones that obviously need to be cleaned up. The question is, how do we pay for such things? And of course, the city has to front the money in the first place because it's an emergency and we have to do something. But in the long run, we don't think that the taxpayers should have to pay front that cost. We are supporting two bills, SB 618 by Senator Carpenter and AB 69 by Assemblywoman Tanner, both of which will be heard today, which could provide the monies to clean up these kinds of spills if a financially responsible party can't be found. Because after all, if a subcontractor for PG&E is found liable in this instance and doesn't have insurance or enough insurance, he may go bankrupt. So how do we pay for it? Well, we'd like to do it through a tax on hazardous waste. And these bills would do that, but they do need to be amended. And we are asking the authors to amend them so that we may qualify for available federal funds to clean up these emergencies and also provide state funding to do so if the Reagan administration will not help us.
Mr. Weiner, are these bills up for action today in the legislature?
Sure are.
And is this a committee action or a full legislative action?
These are for committee action. Both bills are in the final stages of enactment. AB 69 is before the Senate Policy Committee, Health and Welfare, today, this afternoon. And Senator Carpenter's bill is before the Assembly Ways and Means Committee. We are asking both authors to amend them to make sure that they cover emergencies that involve these kinds of releases of hazardous substances rather than solely abandoned waste sites, just as the federal Superfund does.
All right, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Thank you very much, Mr. Weiner.
Thank you.
Peter Weiner, special assistant to Governor Brown, talking about a couple of bills, SB 618 and AB 69, in for committee action today. And as Mr. Weiner told you, the governor's office would like to see them amended and see if we can find out some way to get the bills paid from all of this mess that happened yesterday in the financial district in San Francisco. Now, what is happening on the market? That's been a mess for the past couple of days. Is it improving? Maybe so. But here's Hutch with the story. Hutch?
Well, first off, speaking of bills, Al, when our manager takes all of you out shoe shopping on Saturday, Mr. Ray Barnett is going to be very, very pleased to learn that all of his reporters wear fine, imported $150 shoes.
You bet.
That's very impressive. He's
absolutely.
Be really impressed. 30 industrials are up 0.95 at 902.77. I think yours are always Gucci's, right, Al?
They're special order. Let
of
me
course.
Say that.
Transportation's up 0.40. Utilities are down 0.07. Advancing stocks lead decliners 642 to 368. The index higher by 0.15, the volume 8,800,000 shares. Korea is ready to award a $100 million turbine job to somebody. Two U.S. companies involved. They're in the running among six firms all told around the world. GE is there. It's unchanged at 56 5/8. Also in the running, Westinghouse down an eighth at 28 1/4. Ray Hutchinson from the Pacific Stock Exchange.
We're from Point. We'll ring your bell. We'll get your drapes and carpets. We'll be swell. So give us a call. Now's the time. It's Hello Point.
And goodbye, grit and grime.
Think of the way rust corrodes iron. Grime works the same way in your draperies. Grime is that combination of dirt, dust, and smoke that seeps into your draperies and can actually eat away the fabric. But you can stop grime with the help of the people from Coit, the world's largest drapery cleaners. The people from Coit are tops in their field. They know everything there is to know about getting rid of drapery grime. After Coit's special treatment cleaning, your drapes will have perfect pleats and straight hems, and there is no shrinkage. And they look like new again. And, of course, they'll last years longer. Don't let grime cut your drapery's life short. Call the experts at Coit. Ask for a free estimate. That's Coit, C-O-I-T. Coit, drapery and carpet cleaners. They're right there in your phone book. And Coit is open today till 9 p.m. Open as always for business. Chris Brecher on traffic.
Well, it's only Wednesday, and already I think three times this week we've had things dropping off trucks and causing hazards in the road. This latest occurrence is westbound on the upper deck of the San Rafael Bridge. It's just as you approach the Marin County side, and there are some large chunks of debris that have fallen off the back of a truck there in all the lanes. This is on the upper deck of the San Rafael Bridge just as you approach the Marin County side. In the South Bay, it's the accident northbound 17 near Hamilton Avenue, and on Highway 237, the traffic signals are out of order all the way across, so expect a good traffic jam there. A lot of heavy traffic on the Dumbarton.
This is Ed Hart for Union Bank. Perhaps you've heard interest rate ceilings have been lifted on some bank savings instruments, and Union Bank now offers 30-month money market bonds, providing you the opportunity of locking in today's high rates of interest. These attractive rates are tied to yields on Treasury securities of comparable maturities and will be set every 2 weeks. In a moment, your announcer will tell you the current rate. Acquiring Union Bank money market bonds couldn't be simpler. All you need is a minimum of $500 and a visit to any Union Bank office. An important fact to keep in mind, your Union Bank accounts are fully insured up to $100,000. There's a substantial interest penalty for early redemption. For full information on this new investment opportunity, stop by any Union Bank office. Ed Hart for Union Bank, member FDIC. Now here's the current rate on Union Bank 30-month money market bonds.
The current rate on the Union Bank money market bond, good through August 31st, is 15.65% with an annualized yield of 16.94%.
All Macy's are going to have a very special White Flower Day this Saturday. That's right, White Flower Day on Saturday to make your shopping even more convenient. You'll find outstanding values in almost every department at Macy's. Be there when the doors open this Saturday morning for a very special White Flower Day sale at Macy's.
White Flower Day. White Flower Day.
Is the time, and a little weather from Bob Hallman.
Continued warming trend out. Looks like a nice day. Coastal areas also very little fog or low clouds. The fair and warmer weather will continue.
All right, and that's short and sweet. 55 right now in San Francisco, 59 in San Jose, and at San Francisco International Airport, 54 degrees.
Own a Cadillac? Of course you can. A George Olson Cadillac. This is George Olson of George Olson Cadillac in downtown San Francisco. And we want to make it easy for you to buy or lease during our 1981 Cadillac year-end closeout. We substantially reduce our prices at this time of year to clear out our entire new Cadillac inventory. You'll save extra hundreds of dollars if you act right away while we are offering huge discounts to encourage you to buy or lease now from this year's largest Cadillac selection. We are also offering 13.8% APR GMAC financing on credit approval this month only. This is far below prime rate and will save you hundreds from regular financing. Turn your life on and make your kind of deal today at George Olson Cadillac, 999 Van Ness Avenue at the corner of O'Farrell Street in downtown San Francisco, 48 years a GM dealer, a Time Magazine quality dealer, and one of the nation's top 10 in Cadillac customer satisfaction.
Good morning from News Radio. Come on back in. Everybody's safe now. They've cleaned up the mess in San Francisco, and you can go to work. I'm Al Hart.
I'm Ken Ackerman.
And in a moment, details on these and other stories.
But the experts are advising caution in handling cars and clothing.
And we'll talk with a PG&E official about the utilities cleanup plans.
And the San Francisco coroner has released a report on the man whose family says he was fatally beaten by the police.
Also coming up in the next half hour, business updates from Ray Hutchinson. And, of course, we'll have more of that traffic news.
CBS News. Scientists struggle with platform problems on Voyager 2. Good morning, this is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Voyager 2 sailed 63,000 miles above Saturn last night, ducked behind the planet, and when it emerged this morning, its camera platform was stuck, not responding to all directional commands from Earth. Scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Pasadena are getting some rest now, but in about an hour, they plan some tape replays, according to JPL spokeswoman Evelyn Rasmussen.
We'll begin a playback of tapes that were taken last night. It'll last about 2.5 hours. It'll be previously recorded data that was taken while the spacecraft was behind Saturn as seen from Earth. And we'll find out just at what point the camera ceased to move in the horizontal position and find out just which pictures we did get.
The budget picture after this.
Excuse me, that's my automobile you're ticketing.
Well, you're in a no-parking zone.
I'm the mayor of this town. Who are you to stand there in your underwear and give... What are you doing in your underwear?
Captain Underwear!
Well, I want to tell you, that's good-looking underwear.
It's Kmart's best underwear.
Looks very tough.
That's why I wear it.
Be that as it may...
And Kmart's best underwear is made from 65% Codel polyester and 35% comb cotton.
Be that...
So it fits right wash after wash.
Who appointed you to hand out parking tickets in Kmart's best underwear?
Well, I came to your house and I said, I'm Captain Underwear and I'm going to fight crime. And your wife said, fine, go to it. We're eating supper right now.
My wife is not in charge...
Winston, put the packages in the car.
Yes, dear.
Oh, Mrs. Meyer.
And Winston, tomorrow you buy Kmart's best underwear.
Yes, but I...
Button your lip and drive.
Yes, dear.
Mr. Meyer, that's a one-way street. You can't... That's two more tickets for you, bub.
Kmart's best men's T-shirts and V-necks, 3 for $5.68. Athletic shirts and briefs, 3 for $4.68. Sale in Saturday at Kmart.
Two men are flying cross-country to the Western White House at this hour with guns and butter and budget on their minds. Defense Secretary Weinberger and the Budget Director David Stockman are to meet later today with the President's advisor, Edwin Meese. Stockman's wanted to trim the defense spending plans in order to ensure a balanced budget by the 1984 target date. Leaving Andrews Air Force Base this morning, Weinberger said, we're all trying to do the same thing, rearm America and get an economic program that will permit that to be done. Fire on the top floor of the Holiday Inn near the Los Angeles airport forced more than 500 guests to flee the building early today. No injuries immediately reported. Egypt's Sadat and Israel's Begin wound up days of meetings in Alexandria with the agreement to take up the thorny question of Palestinian autonomy in ministerial talks next month. Moscow was quick to react, as David Andelman reports.
The Soviet Union has sharply condemned the Begin-Sadat meeting and Israeli proposals for Palestinian autonomy. In the words of TASS, the Soviet news agency, the Israeli proposals are nothing else but another political gimmick through the use of which it is sought to deceive the Palestinians. A TASS commentary observed that the key Israeli objective in the discussion was to subordinate Egypt to Israel's will, threatening to destroy the negotiating process and to halt withdrawal of Israeli troops from the Sinai Peninsula. The Soviet commentary blamed the Israeli attitude on the new Begin government that emerged after the recent elections, a government that the Soviet analysis termed the most reactionary in the history of the country. The Soviet report in turn blamed the Reagan administration for encouraging, in its words, the insolence of Israeli hawks. David Andelman, CBS News, Moscow.
Angola charges that South African forces mounted a new wave of air and land attacks today and have advanced nearly 100 miles into Angola from neighboring Namibia. The Angolan Defense Ministry reports violent fighting. Angola denies that any of the 20,000 Cuban troops now in that country have become engaged in this latest fighting. News continues after this.
Each Best Western is delightfully different, and that means a variety of services for you. Yet every Best Western is independently owned, so you'll enjoy the personal attention that comes from pride of ownership. Next time you're looking for a special place to turn in...
To be allowed to paint the home of John Paul Jones, Sears had to bring its best. The finest quality paints Sears has ever offered. Sears' best, toughest washable paints are now on sale. Weather Beater with tough mildew retardants, now $10.99 a gallon, save $7. Easy Living, now $9.99 and $10.99 a gallon, save $5. For great American homes like yours, you can count on Sears.
The Education Secretary Bell has named a commission this morning to search for ways to improve American education, which Bell says has been in a long and continuing decline. The commission is to spend some 18 months studying United States schools, comparing them with those in other countries, and then coming up with some recommended changes. Not much change on Wall Street after 1 hour of trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Index is off a fraction, the index down 0.38. putting the industrial average at 901.45. Volume after 1 hour, 10,920,000 shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.
KCBS News Time, 8:06. Beat check.
The PCB.
B cleanup continues in a several block area of downtown San Francisco, and another street has been closed off. Jerry Wilcox at Front and Sacramento Streets. City Health Director Dr. Mervyn Silverman has now closed off Front Street between Clay and California after he discovered the sidewalks had not been cleaned. Now for some health aspects of this spill, here's Wilson Van Alst.
While state and local health officials continue to say the PCB contamination from yesterday's release is below established danger thresholds, there are critics who argue that no level of PCB exposure is safe. In the meantime, people whose clothes and footwear show signs of the PCB-laden oil film are being advised to store those items in not one but two plastic bags and wait for disposal instructions from PG&E. News of the South Bay now with Bill Polish.
Scientists in Sacramento still operating on 5 med flies found near Los Angeles yesterday. They still don't know if those flies are fertile or not. And Mary Golke, the longest-living heart-lung transplant patient in the world, goes home next week, 5 months after receiving the new organs at Stanford University. More on V-Check now from our Washington Bureau.
This is Les Woodruff. The National Black Police Officers Association is meeting in Washington to make their recommendations on reducing violent crime in the cities. Timothy Williams, spokesman for California's representatives, says the recruitment of minority officers is their main concern. Now here is Ray Hutchinson at the Pacific Stock Exchange.
Stocks were higher earlier, but have now turned mixed as the Dow has suddenly headed downward once again. It's at 901.16. That's down 0.66. Now to Karen Stanley in Sacramento.
No, I'm going to go to Chris Brutcher, wherever she is. You're not in Sacramento. You're right here in our studios.
No, I don't think so. And we have no stalls or accidents reported in Sacramento either. We do have the accident northbound 17.